Stupid, eh? Are you a stupid fool? Well, why can't you drive then? You can't even drive! Bit grey today, isn't it?
What was that going for?
Hello, everyone. Welcome from the Lodge. I have a very special guest here. Say hello, Carl.
Hello, Carl.
And we've been, we've been drinking for some hours.
Yeah.
It's been quite romantic, hasn't it? You came bearing gifts.
I tell you what, when future historians write up tonight, they're going to be like, this was definitely a gay romance.
I picked Carl up. We got to the lodge and first of all, we had lunch, didn't we?
Yep.
We went to a lovely old country
pub. Oh, it was good pie as well.
We had some Clandon pie.
Very good.
And then you got me 4 Davidoff cigars, which are the bee's knees.
I think so. They certainly cross the earth. So
yeah. So I'm grateful for that.
It's because at the last Shildings event, I was just pinching your cigars all evening. So I felt like I should repay the favour.
I noticed though we smoked 4 of my. No, I'm joking. No, it's because of you. Those Davidoffs need to be resuscitated in the humidor. So
I'm no expert. So
we've had 2 of my Epicure 2s. Mm. But also, you gave me, Carl, a little match.
Yeah.
That strikes on its own. It's like a self-lighting match.
Yeah. And then it's not a self-lighting match because you have to light it. Basically, on my Facebook feed, it kept coming up with this matchless match where you fill it with life fluid, but it's like a match. You score down it. And I thought, oh, that's nice. And it was only like £20. And so I thought, oh, I'll get AA that for Christmas. Won't that be nice? And in exchange, he cooked me a nice bolognese. So, yeah, it's been very romantic, really.
Yeah, I mean, the match has got my name engraved on it, which is a lovely touch.
Well, it was a free service they did. They're like, do you want your name engraved on it? So I may as well.
And then
just in case you lose it and someone else has one. Just
you also bought flavoured liqueurs. So I've got a salted caramel one here. You've got a raspberry one.
Yeah, they're good. Got them from Blenheim Palace.
So,
been saving them just for the occasion.
I mean, we have kind of been drinking on and off since lunchtime. here we are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know what we're going to talk. We've kind of already talked about. We cannot discuss some of the topics that we were discussing earlier on, Carl, because we're on YouTube now. Under, what's it, Neil Mohan? Mohan. Under the new Rishi Sunak of YouTube.
Yes.
So,
well, we don't know what he's going to be like, but let's be fair, it's just not worth it. So,
but I think what people really want to know is that spaghetti bolognese I made using the pork and the mince and the wine and my, you know, special beef stock. What do you reckon?
Yeah. With a bit of proper British cheddar cheese on it, it was very good.
I offered him Parmesan, and he was like, no, I want cheddar.
I'm calling out Furious Pertinax right now. There's no such thing as an Italian cheese. Stop bragging about Italian cheese. What there are is Italian toenail clippings and, like, weird gummy froth. There is no Italian cheese.
He was like, I'm not having foreign cheese. So,
yeah, but that's because the Italians have never made a cheese.
So, to be honest, I quite like this cheddar on it though. You've kind of
convinced
me.
It's good.
You went in a whole diatribe about how cheese isn't proper, like Italian cheese isn't proper cheese.
No, it's not. It's got no texture, it's got no proper taste. Well, everyone's like, oh, look at that Gorgonzola. Yeah, the foot cheese. Great.
They gave you some books. I mean, you spent a lot of money, so
thank you.
You know, I thought, well, a couple of books is not
it's not terrible.
You know.
Couple of books about subjects unmentionable.
One of them was by Hilaire Belloc. I'll just say that. Hilaire Belloc is a based writer.
I bet he is.
He's got a great book on the Crusades. And that book I gave you, so, you know.
So the best book about the Crusades I've ever read was Harold Lamb.
Right, okay, yeah, yeah.
Really good. He's just such a poetic writer that he just takes you through the events, and it's like reading a movie, you know?
Yes. What else?
Carl is a plan truster. Oh, fucking, I wish. I'd have some hope then. If I were like, oh, trust the plan, lads, I'd be not as despairing as I am.
What else? We talked about Robin Hood. We talked about Shakespeare.
Yeah.
We talked about Roald Dahl for a good bit, didn't we?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, chat. Who did read Roald Dahl? Oh, in fact, no, quicker. Who didn't read Roald Dahl? You know, just say if you didn't read Roald Dahl when you were a kid. Because it's just, this is, like, we were talking earlier, it's like the backlash has actually been quite universal to the woke rewrite of Roald Dahl.
Even James O'Brien, you said.
Yeah, I'll cover it on the podcast tomorrow with the clips so everyone can see. But even James O'Brien was like, well, I mean, this is too far, isn't it? It's like, oh, you prick. You set this up, you piece of shit.
Oh, I hate James O'Brien so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, me too.
That's what we talk about. Robin Hood, lots of Shakespeare stuff.
But people there, we read Dahl in school. Like, dude, I read Dahl in my free time because it was fun.
It was good. I read some of them over and over. George. Yeah. The Marvelous Twits. Medicine, Twits.
Yeah, George. Yeah, that's another great one. George Marvelous Medicine.
James and the Giant Peach was good.
Yeah,
and we were saying, weren't we, that a lot of his villains are horrible women, which is based.
Horrible women are a thing that you know, a misogynistic thing that he does.
So, yes.
Remember Rick Mayall on TV reading George's Marvelous Medicine? I bet that was great.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah,
sounds
good. I really like Rick Mayall.
Yes. I don't know. I think taking on Roald Dahl was something.
Yeah.
They've also released this this ridiculous list that you're going to talk about on things that are far right, which include the complete works of Shakespeare, Chaucer, Beowulf, Lord of the Rings.
Beowulf is pretty far right.
Lord of the Rings.
Sharp.
Game of Thrones. Not Game of Thrones. The House of Cards.
Yep.
I mean, you know, this is just like good stuff.
Really. Yes, Prime Minister.
That's, yes, yeah, yeah, that's yeah yes, far Minister. Right. I mean, Britisher on Suicide Watch.
Welcome to the far right, Britisher.
But I don't know. I think they may have caused a run on Roald Dahl.
Yeah,
books.
Because I said I was going to order that thing for my son's birthday.
Yeah, do it now because my immediate reaction was, I have to buy these for AAA, basically, before it's too late.
But on the plus side, thank you for reminding me that I need to get my son Roald Dahl books.
Yeah.
So I was probably about 8 years old when I first started reading Roald Dahl.
Yes.
And, I hadn't thought about it in years.
What's your favourite one, if you had to pick one? I'll leave you order it. I'll just...
The twins.
You like the twits.
The twins. Yeah, I remember reading that over and over because I was fascinated by the physiognomy analysis he gives, and looking back on it now, it's like, wow, that's surprisingly informative. Actually,
do you remember in the Twits, Mr. Twit gets all like food stuck in his
That was one of the things. Yeah, the grossness of them.
When I grew my beard, I was acutely aware of that happening, of like the potential of that happening due to reading the Twits when I was younger. So.
Right, here we go. Right, so I'm looking at the Prime ones. So I want it for tomorrow. But they haven't, like, some of them is James and the Giants.
It's the one which is 16 books. 16.
Yeah.
Just put in Roald Dahl box set.
Okay.
What else?
Oh, here we go. Yeah, that's not going to be here until March, but okay.
That's no good.
Danny, Champion of the World. Yeah, the Twits, the Witches.
Hold on, let me show you. I bought one.
Boy, Galaxy. Matilda. Matilda was really great as well.
I'll show you the one I bought. Hold on. You can see the many thousands of pounds I've spent on Amazon.
I'm personally responsible for buying Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, this one, look.
Yeah, I'm looking at the same one. I think that it's...
There's been a run.
I think
that's why, look.
Yeah, I think so.
There's been a run. That's why it's delayed.
I think there has. But I'm happy to contribute to the run, to be honest.
Excellent.
Because I agree that this is one of those things where it's like, no, they can get fucked. Because this is genuinely Soviet, what they're doing.
Oh, it's awful.
It's a genuinely Soviet thing.
It upset me greatly when I saw that.
I didn't even realize I'd be upset by it either. Like, you know, it wasn't But I don't spend any moment of my day thinking about Roald Dahl until they're like, yeah, so we're going to vandalize his stories. Like, okay, fuck off.
I don't look, Roald Dahl. What are the notes? What? Remind myself of all his books. Hold on a minute. I tell you what, Rishi Sunak has joined the criticism.
Yeah, yeah.
BBC front page. This is not going to go down.
No, they're going to recount.
Level of backlash.
What is? Okay, I'm too drunk to remember my password. I have to do it tomorrow. Or get my computer out.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I just can't fucking remember what the password is.
All right, he's gone over there to do that. I'm just having a look at the list of Roald Dahl books because I want to try to think of like what's the best one. Okay, here are his novels. Okay, I've got them. Okay, I'll just have a look at the chat a minute.
Amazon is preventing me from adding it to my basket. Why is that?
Okay.
Literally, if I click add to cart, it's just like your cart's empty. Hang on, no. What? Why is my cart empty?
I'm just finishing off this last of this salted caramel. I might get my whiskey out.
Yeah, go for it.
Hold on.
Well, I've still got plenty of the other ones.
What have you got? It's the gin, right? The raspberry and
the plum. The plum ones.
The plum. I might go for the plum. All right.
Yeah, let's do the plum. Right.
Salted caramel was 16, nice.
Okay, the salted caramel was particularly.
You've done it? You've ordered it?
I have ordered it.
And fantastic.
I'm genuinely passionate about this because I really did enjoy Roald Dahl's books. And like, my parents never had to encourage me to read them or anything like that. I was genuinely interested to do so.
Okay, so I've just pulled up a list of the Roald Dahls.
Yeah.
I haven't read that. I don't know the Gremlins. That's obviously.
No, I'm not heard of that one.
James and the Giant Peach,
yep.
Ace,
yep.
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, obviously.
Yeah,
Magic Finger. Don't remember that one.
No, I don't remember that one. Fantastic Mr. Fox, yes.
That's the one with the different, like the alcoholic farmers. You know, one of them drinks cider. And,
I can't remember now. But I have read it. Yes,
Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator. Danny the Champion of the World. That's where they go poaching. I always remember the line in that his dad never smiled, but his eyes were warm. He had a smile in his eyes.
Yeah.
I thought that was a cool line.
But this is the thing about Roald Dahl. He had a really humanizing way of describing things that was exaggerated, but you kind of knew what he meant. Like Miss Trunchbull was a great example of this. Where it's like everyone knew that kind of really overbearing. Like she didn't throw children over the school fence.
No.
But hyperbolically,
you know the sort of character. Yeah, yeah. She walks with her elbows. Yeah,
you knew exactly the Miss Trunchbull when you saw her.
Yeah, George the Marvelous Medicine.
Yeah,
BFG.
Yeah,
witches. Yeah. Matilda.
Yeah,
oh, they're all good, aren't they?
The classics, absolute classics.
I was just mentioning earlier on when we talked about this earlier, but Tales of the Unexpected is wicked as well.
Yeah, I watched that when I was young.
And he has these like creepy little intros to the front.
Mm.
Roald Dahl is based, I'm telling you.
Yeah, just an excellent author. Where's his name from? What a strange name.
I think he's Norwegian. I've got an idea that he's from Norway or something. Originally.
Yeah.
Let's have a look. British author.
Yeah, but like, he's not a British name.
Served in the RAF.
Well, click on his name at the top there.
Oh, yeah, that's why. Early life, here we go. no, he grew up in Cardiff. To Norwegians, right, there we go. Yeah. And the reason I said that is because in The Witches, the grandma is from Norway. And I always thought, well, that's curiously specific, you know. But it's, you know, it's obviously semi-autobiographical. Mm.
It's funny because my Arch, I'm good friends with Arch, and he's Norwegian. He's like, yeah, well, in Norway, we kind of look at the English as mad Norwegians. I say, it's interesting.
Yeah. Mm.
We see you as bloodthirsty invaders who need to repel. Got long memories, you see.
Yeah. All right. So, well, we might as well take questions from the audience. Why not?
Well, yeah, we haven't got any
plans. We're a bit sozzle. I mean, I'm getting aggressively drunker, but
Oh, yeah, I'm doing just fine. So, any questions?
Yeah, see if there's any questions here. Doesn't have to be super chat. You can just write in the chat.
No, it does have to be super chat.
Oh, it does have to be super chat.
Come on,
okay.
Capitalism hurt.
All right, capitalism.
I'm joking.
What are you currently reading?
Right, Tasha, what's The Lodge like? It's very, very dissident. if I had to put one word to it, it's political radical.
Oh dear, oh dear. You've been saying that all day. I
mean, it's so true. Well, yes, I do own a private lodge in Surrey. My name's Vladimir Lenin, and I'm just on the run all the time, you know. Like, yeah, like in every other era, every other political radical has had to flee the country to England, actually. And you're like, yeah, I'm buying property.
It was a vivid day. We were sitting eating salted caramel goose, weren't we?
Yeah.
Plotting the downfall of the government.
Yeah.
No, I love the British government in all its ways. And the nation of
Iran, I'm looking forward to Keir Starmer, to be honest.
Oh.
Hamza Yousaf, 2022.
How many times do you reckon I've mentioned Tony Blair today?
Probably about half a dozen.
Right, okay.
Just independently.
That's not bad.
There's been a lot in the conversation. Like, so Tony Blair, for fuck's sake. It's more weird that you got a portrait on him on the wall, you know?
It was a strange moment. I was trying to rationalize. I was like, do you think he's got goodness in his heart ultimately?
No, I think he's way too late for Tony Blair. It's like Gollum, right? He's sniffed the ring of power and it's far too late for him.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. So the Starmer government.
The lodge is just a sideshow and he's back up. No. It is actually far more magnificent than that. I am mildly envious of the lodge. It is very nice. It is very nice.
Oh, you met my neighbour, didn't you?
He was nice. Noisy. Apparently, this is the one day of the year that he has to be really fucking noisy.
Yeah. What else? Let's have a look.
You lads having Harry Potter marathon tonight. So I made my case earlier that Harry Potter is actually incredibly based. And am I wrong?
You laid it out. It was actually really interesting that all of the directors are British in some way, right?
Or yes. One was Chris Columbus, so he's an American.
He's from Pennsylvania.
He's from, small town America.
Yeah.
One was a Mexican, and then two Englishmen. So it's like, that's a weird collection of directors. But also, like, J.K. Rowling would be like, no, all the actors have to be British, so no foreigners. Okay, based. Yeah. Agree. And then,
they're all white.
Well, I haven't watched it, so I actually don't know. But I just remember seeing, I've never seen a Harry Potter film. And I've
Emma Watson's white. Harry Potter's white. Who's the genie?
But the thing is, it wasn't like an incidental thing. Like, J.K. Rowling literally came out and said, we're only hiring British actors. Like, this is why they didn't have, like, Robin Williams in it and stuff like this. And Chris Columbus actually got his daughter to be in it, but she wasn't allowed to speak. So she couldn't have a speaking role. Because
she's American.
Because she's American, based, yeah, exactly. Based. Yeah, exactly. And I was like, wow, that's actually really based, JK. And then if you look at the world she's created, well, it's just the British imperial education system. It's like, you're not a fucking peasant. You have been born special to this aristocracy, and now you go to the special private school where you get invested with particular powers that the muggles don't have, the inferiors don't have. And it's like, this is the most hierarchical thing in the world. Like, this is unbelievably anti-egalitarian. Mm. And so I just can't understand how all of these fucking, like, commies are like, oh, JK, I loved Harry Potter. I just wish I went to Hogwarts. So, yeah, but you were born fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Like, it's just genuinely an anti-egalitarian, like...
Interesting.
Yeah. Lord of the Rings style.
Was Harry Potter on the list of far-right texts?
You know what? I didn't see it on there.
Oh, right. Okay.
But I've never read it. At some point, I will read it. That's the thing, right? People in chat go, yeah, but Rowling's like woke. Yeah, I know. I'm not saying Rowling is based. What I'm saying is that she didn't realize what she had created. She was looking at the world around her and going, oh, this is a good world. I'm going to mimic it for this thing. And it actually, and what she's done is projected the image of like classic, like British aesthetic into the minds of everyone. And they were like, yeah, I love this. And it's like, yeah, then stop being a fucking leftist. Mm-hmm. That's what it means, you know? She didn't do it on purpose.
I'll just mention that Nick S. Why did you block me on Twitter? I don't even post. You probably follow an undesirable. Because I did a chain block on anybody with an orange juice logo in there.
How do you do a chain block?
I've got methods. I've got means and ways. I did a chain block. Okay. So just let me know your screen name and I'll unblock you. Mm. A lot of people were caught up in collateral damage when I blocked. okay, what else? Let's have a look. There are actual super chats now, but we should probably reward them. Coney says, did you know Carl Schmitt is very popular in Chinese academic circles? His work has been heavily cited and promoted by Xi Jinping, as also Yukio Mishima and Yoko Ono went to school together. So there we go. I did come across Chinese scholarship on Schmitt when I was writing Populist Delusion. I'm going to write a piece soon. I'm not going to do it tonight, obviously, but I'm going to write a piece soon about how the wokesters have internalized Schmitt and how I think that trying to tackle woke with
on it, because what they've said is that essentially everyone else is a cuck if they're not prepared to positively and negatively discriminate. So if you want to be an egalitarian, to be an active egalitarian, you have to be a black supremacist in order to defeat the white supremacy, as in the inequality between blacks and whites. So they've got that corner. That's why literally every liberal outlet, like, you know, Quillette, Unheard, all of these sort of like, you know, centrist liberal things, they all just end up going woke over time. Mm-hmm. They can't help themselves.
Well, what I'm saying is you'll never defeat woke with just like the last egalitarianism.
It's designed to overcome it.
They've already deconstructed liberalism. They've already done all the stuff that we've done. Yeah. So in order to...
And they did it while you guys were still in school.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. So we're all playing catch-up, but also they kind of know, like all that stuff I talk about in Populist Delusion, they know it.
Oh, yeah.
Already.
Oh, yeah.
Whether they know it or not, they know it.
What's most subversive about the critical race theorists is that they took the tools of liberalism and inverted them without changing the words. And so they have expanded the definition of any particular word to include its antonym. Mm-hmm. And so the liberal literally has no way of winning an argument against a wokist. It just can't happen now. So
that dude, Nick S., never told me his Twitter name. Tell me your Twitter name, Nick S. I'll unblock you. Okay, another super chat from Coney. Several more from Coney. Carl, how much would you say AA has transformed your political positions over time? What key intellectual figures do you now identify or connect with? Hold on, I'll deal with that.
It's kind of hard to say because I've been imbibing a lot of content from across the political spectrum for a long time. And really, it was my own studies that kind of led me out of liberalism, because I had to spend a lot of time really going into the weeds from the original thinkers on liberalism. Mm-hmm. And this is why I ended up writing The Five False Assumptions of Liberalism. And I've got another one in the works, five more false assumptions, because they're just not true. You know, they're just false assumptions about the state of mankind or the state of human nature that just weren't accurate and never were. And a lot of them even admit, well, this may be just a thought experiment, but I'm going to run with it anyway. And so it's just not tenable. And then when you see what has come out of the false assumptions, you're like, right, okay, it's actively destructive at its worst. Because, I mean, like, if it was a bunch of Englishmen who had just arrived in North America being like, oh, we need to follow liberal axioms, they'd probably be okay because they'd have a bunch of conservative assumptions that they wouldn't even question, that their civilization would have rested on, and that would have just gone along as normal. But that's not the case. And so it has to be ideologically taught and imposed on other people. But of course, that means they're going to challenge them, and the challenges are valid. And so, you know, so it's not any one person. It's more the sort of me trying to square it, you know, and it, and but lots of people have influenced me. I mean, like, I wouldn't have read Evola if you hadn't been the one going on about it, but I'm actually quite glad I did, because I like his view of the a lot of things, actually. The transcendental is quite good, actually, and very few, because there is what myself and Scott Mannion were working on a couple of years ago was essentially the sort of transcendental nature, the metaphysics of England, and Evola has a good way of describing the subject in a way that other people don't have, you know. And so that's something I've really been enjoying. It's you that turned me on to that.
Okay, let's have a look. Coney says, there seems to be a disagreement in our circles on the nature of the British and American empires. Was woke a natural evolution of Victorian white man's burden, or an external force of vengeance?
It comes from America. Okay, well, I can tell you the exact genealogy of wokeism. It comes from the Frankfurt School, which moved to America, gestated in American, in Harvard Law School, and then became what we call critical race theory now. So, no, this wasn't a product of the only way you could tie this on the British Empire is the success of the British Empire. The fact that the British Empire ruled over non-white people would be the only way that you could say the British Empire is vaguely responsible for this, because that gives them an angle of attack. But the ideology itself is definitely not from the British Empire. It's definitely American.
No, I agree. 100%. I think it's...
And you can't create critical race theory without the American context as well, because it requires the blacks to have been slaves in the country in which they still reside.
Yes, and let's just say a certain intellectual context in America, in places like New York and elsewhere, that kind of facilitate critical race theory. Frankfurt School, for example.
Yes, but a lot of the critical race theorists are what they would say, people of color.
Yes, yes.
So indeed, actually, the critical race theorists have got a surprising cross-section across racial boundaries. People like Kimberly Crenshaw, for example, is the person who coined intersectionality. And she is black, and she is basing her activism on Gramsci, who is Albanian. So it's just like, okay, what the fuck are you all doing? You know?
And he was an
Albanian immigrant to Italy
in Mussolini's prison. Yes,
it can't be possible without the American context.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think the attempt to tie critical race theory back to like English, like British Empire ideology, essentially, is misplaced. It's a different beast.
Yeah.
What you could say is. Like a different cup. What you could say is, I guess, is I was trying to explain this on Twitter earlier. In the same way that you could say, well, in some way, Cecil Rhodes is responsible for Robert Mugabe, right? In so much as Robert Mugabe is a turning upside down of Cecil Rhodes. In the same way, CRT. is basically a turning upside down of British imperial ideology in a way.
Yeah, but I wouldn't connect the two. I don't see the connection between them, frankly. And that's not to say that British imperial ideology is good or bad or whatever. It's just I just don't think they're the parent of it.
What do you think about the idea that... See, I've got this idea that if British ideology was guilty of anything, it was in... actually at some point believing its own bullshit, i.e. becoming genuinely universalist, genuinely believing in education as a liberator. You know, the idea that, for example, Gandhi would receive a British education in law and then use it against the British Empire as being in some way a quote-unquote success of the empire, right? That to me is not woke ideology. Woke ideology has that universal. It's particularist. It basically posits that white men are a unique evil in the world.
It's not. That's contextual, though. because it is based on the eternal value of equality. And so what it's saying, it, woke ideology basically sees itself as a kind of game theory to get to equality. As in the moment, everything is controlled by white men, apparently. I mean, it's not, but like, it, you know, in the last, say, 20 years, you could say, okay, well, yeah, it's mostly white men in charge of things, sure. But in another 20 years, it won't be mostly white men in charge of things. And so the Zoomers will be able to use woke ideology and legitimately, because the people who would otherwise object will have to say, well, I mean, historically, maybe, but it's just not been the case in the sort of the Generation Alpha and the Zoomers. Mm-hmm. They won't remember a time where white people were in charge.
Do you think like the people who genuinely peddle CRT, right? Let's just pretend that they don't know that they're in power and they're sincere, okay? Do you really think that in their minds it's a temporary thing? That affirmative action, for example, you know, oh, we only need this for 10 years, 20 years until this group or that group catches up? Or do you think that, because I think basically over time it has transformed to become a genuinely kind of supremacist movement.
Well, undoubtedly that there's a lot of people who are supremacists who use this as a tool. I think there are useful idiots who do think, charitably speaking, that like, oh, well, no, this is about just redressing historic wrongs and bringing, you know, marginalized groups into the center to help them get along. There are definitely those useful idiots, but they don't drive they don't steer the ship. So I do think it is racial supremacists who do steer the ship.
Right. Yes. No, and I agree. I'm not saying Gandhi was woke. I'm saying that Gandhi is an example of the British universalism actually living up to its name in a strange way.
Well,
they gave him an education. They gave him the tools to.
But also, like, was it Pete Hitchens who made this point? I can't remember who made this point, but it was like, look, Gandhi is only possible in the liberal British Empire, right? Because in Nazi Germany, he would have just disappeared. In the Soviet Union, he would have just disappeared.
Yes.
It relied on the fact that we weren't tyrannical totalitarians for his peaceful protest to work. Because if it was European-run state, he would have just disappeared.
I think the best thing you can say is, do you remember I made those videos about how libertarianism is the handmaiden of socialism? Remember I made those arguments? You could say that British-style universal liberalism was a handmaiden in some way, i.e., it made the institutions weak against the woke attack, because woke is not liberal. Woke is not truly...
Woke is liberal. That's the problem with it. Go on. It grounds itself on liberal premises. And the way that it managed to defeat the Americans so easily is by working within their own civil rights legislation. Kimberly Crenshaw was actually really clever about this. And now, in looking back at it in retrospect, it seems kind of inevitable, actually, that you have a liberal human rights law, which is people shouldn't be oppressed for being black or being gay or being women or something. And everyone kind of agrees. Yeah, obviously. But then Kimberly Crenshaw said, yeah, but what if someone's suffering a kind of double oppression for being a black woman, for example? I'm a black woman. I'm getting doubly oppressed.
Trump.
Yeah,
so like, you one up.
Exactly. And that's what intersectionality is. And this kind of explodes liberal human rights law because it is designed to only recognize one category. And this allowed her to just essentially roll up all of it into everything now is intersectional work because I've got the Trump card and I win, you know?
So I if we're being like super strict, civil rights law wasn't liberal because it violated the key liberal principle of
the
freedom of association.
But this is the problem, because there are two kinds of liberalism. There's English liberalism and French liberalism. And you're thinking of the English liberal order.
Well, this is the argument, though,
but
British
right? Of negative rights. But
yes, indeed, yes.
The Americans got subverted. Which one was it? Who brought in the big society? LBJ, is it?
LBJ.
Yeah. That's
FDR,
sorry. Yeah. That was the introduction of French liberalism to the American system, European liberalism of positive rights. And now that's the end of the English liberal project. Actually can't survive it. So if you permit positive rights, and the English liberal project is doomed to die, it seems.
So what we're saying is, even if we take that reading, it was the French liberalism and not the the British one that birthed CRT.
Yeah, the English liberalism seems pretty stable, actually.
Yes, indeed.
Like, because it's negative. You can't force someone to do something, right? And so that means you get the no Irish, no blacks, no dog signs.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not very progressive.
Right, I see, yes. Yeah.
But the problem is that English liberalism is weak to French liberalism because they agree that human rights are a thing. And actually, what English liberalism was is kind of the extrapolation of the rights of Englishmen, which is very particular. It's not universal.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And when you say, well, and the French were like, well, these are human rights. It's like,
See, the thing is that they, I've said this before, Locke, if he was sitting here now,
he wouldn't agree with any of this.
Right. He'd be like, well, when I was talking about the rights of men, I wasn't even talking about white men. I was talking about, like, if you read Locke, he assumes the people you're talking about have servants and, like, he is not talking about,
When he's discussing the state of nature, he is talking about the, like, in the state of nature, you don't have servants, right? So when he is thinking, but the problem with Locke is he kind of feels that man is a rational actor in the state of nature.
Right.
And so he's got, like, he believes it's a rational that reason in the state of nature requires man to be cooperative.
Uh-huh.
Sorry, I've had to study this at length, so I happen to know. But like, so he wouldn't say it's for servants, but the problem is Locke fails to understand that it's his English bias that makes him think this way.
But I remember, because I can't remember, in Defenders of Liberty, I have a chapter on Locke. Hmm. So I remember like going back to his original homesteading argument, and he's like, oh, if you work the land or have a servant work your land, then it belongs to you.
But he would say that this is the product of the cooperative nature of reason in the state of nature.
Right.
So you could have a servant, technically, if you like enclosed off a bunch of land and some guy came along and said, oh, I'll help you with the crops as long as, you know, you give me some of the crops. I mean, that's a cooperative, reasonable thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's not talking about like the socially set hierarchy at that point. But of course, that's would give it. You know,
can you kill the rumors, Carl? You're not sleeping in the same bed as me. You've got your own bedroom that I'm giving you.
Do I? First time hearing of it.
It's made lovingly by my own mother a couple of days ago.
Thank you, Grandma A.
Okay, what else? Still Coney. Coney's the only one on entropy. Everybody else is sending on normal. Coney says, have you heard the story of the recent history of the island of Sark in Guernsey? It's a fascinating tale about two merchant elite brothers destroy the last vestiges of European feudalism.
I think Andrew Doyle went on holiday here. He goes on holiday here every now and again because it's such a remote little island.
I've got a mate who lives in Guernsey and I've seen Sark from afar.
Oh, yeah.
And he said there's only like 20 people who live there. It's really small. So people like go there on like hikes and things like that. So
I bet the crime rate's really low.
The crime rate is like zero in Sark.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. Let's see what else. We're not sleeping in the same bed.
Not tonight. Anymore.
Okay. Okay, I'll open other super chats. Sorry if we're conflicting with our NASA schedule, but you know, this doesn't happen every day, does it? So
no.
Okay. I mean, MNDB says, this stream is amazing. You're amazing, AA.
What about me?
Thanks a lot. Lambda says, which song lyrics speak to you of this present moment? I submit hanging on in quiet desperation is the English way.
I've recently rediscovered that every now and again, like a band from my childhood, will either pop up on YouTube or I'll be suddenly inspired and then look them up on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And Hey Man, Nice Shot by Filter came up the other day. Oh, it's a great song.
Right, okay.
It's a really great song.
Hey Man, Great Shot, yeah.
Hey Man, Nice Shot. I can't remember what it was about, but it's got some great lyrics in it. If you took them out of context, very edgy. So there's that.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to think about which songs speak to me at the present moment.
You know, I've been thinking about doing a kind of retrospective on Green Day.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, because I'm not like... I always preferred Offspring to Green Day. Because when we were kids, it's like this was the big thing, Offspring or Green Day, right? I always preferred Offspring. But Green Day's been a really instructive lesson on, like, political radicalism. Because if you look at them in the early stages, it I can't remember what the name of the very first album is before they were famous, but it's just a bunch of teenage punks, kids just prattling around with their, you know, talking about like, you know, oh, my mum's making me go to bed and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. And then you've got Dookie, which is about like being a listless teenager with nothing to do and just smoking weed and wanking all day. And then like they start reflecting on the emptiness of modern American life and like with American Idiot. Uh-huh. And they're in there, they've got a kind of fork in the road. Are they going to be based or are they going to be cringe? And they ended up going woke cringe.
Of course, yeah.
But they could have gone based. Okay. And now they're like literally revolutionaries who like sound like Rage Against the Machine.
I would have to go with, as my song that speaks to me,
yeah.
I have to pick a Smith song. It's Morrissey's bass.
Morrissey's bass, yeah.
It's this one. I Decree is Still Ill by the Smiths.
Yeah.
I decree today that life is simply taking and not giving. England is mine. It owes me a living. Ask me why and I'll spit in your eye. I just love those lines.
Jesus.
I don't know, like... we had a little moment earlier on. We were looking at the Surrey Hills in contemplation. That was kind of...
Yeah, holding hands.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that.
It was a beautiful vista.
It was lovely, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Some Comenium says, good evening, A.A. and Carl. As fathers know this, as soon as your child is 17, they will want a car. As soon as they're 18, they will want a lift again. Be warned, Evola will not help you with this problem. Well, you've got a solution to this problem that you were telling me about earlier on, about giving lifts. Do you remember?
Oh, yeah, I just didn't know to drive. I was going to, and then my wife had my children. And then I was like, hang on a second. If I learn to drive now, I've got to do the school run. So I strategically just kept forgetting to do it.
We were talking about the Paul McCartney thing, where Paul McCartney, obviously a multi-millionaire, famously did not refuse to buy his son a car when he was 18.
Based.
And recently Jackie Chan
has
basically disinherited his son and said, I'm going to give all my money to charity. So fuck you. Basically, what are your views on these?
Well, I kind of agree, because like, I don't want my children to be pampered. You know, like it is character forming for them to start poor and work up.
Everybody's saying you can't even drive car. 26 years old and you can't even drive.
Yeah.
So
yeah. No, I don't care.
Okay.
Now it's a duty I'm avoiding.
I don't think there's certain things you should, like. You should be able to ride a bike, swim, and drive a car. No.
Yeah, I'm not saying I shouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
I'm saying that now, if I do it, I've roped myself into a lot of extra duties.
Yeah, I suppose. Okay.
Yeah. I think I'd probably buy my kids a house. I don't want, I'm not a millionaire or anything, so it's not like I'm going to, but if I had, like, you know, Jackie Chan money, I'd still feel like I'm, like, you should have to earn money yourself, right? You should have to. It feels wrong to just not have to. Maven, I saw that. I'm not riding an e-scooter. E-scooters are gay. They're for gay communists.
JD says, delighted to learn that Roald Dahl was our guy.
Well, yeah.
Cam33 says, have you ever heard of the rapper Decca? No. He is very talented and includes good political philosophy and anti-elite messaging in his songs. I have not heard of Decca.
Not big on the rap scene, I'm afraid.
Spasticus Autisticus says, Carl, make a dissident case for 40k to AA.
Well, that's easy.
Go on, then.
Okay, well... which direction to be in? It's how extreme a dissident case should I make is the question. So you can start with an entry level, right? As in
YouTube safe case, whatever it is.
Okay, so we'll knock it right. So I'll cut out like the four or five pro genocide arguments.
Okay, all
right. So there's of course the way that it forces you to learn new skills, right? Mm-hmm. There are genuine skills, and it improves all of your sort of mathematical abilities, because you have to calculate things on the fly. You have to improve your cognitive abilities to remember what has happened, to be able to identify. It's like playing a very complicated game of chess, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you've got the artistic side, where you're building and painting the model, so that's all fun, and you're practicing skills, and it's therapeutic. And there's a social aspect to it. So you're playing with your friends. You can't just do it on your own. So there's all sorts of like wholesome aspects to it there. But also it is the most anti-egalitarian world scenario that it is possible to create. That it is explicitly like congenitally hierarchical and genocidal against anything that's not itself, the Imperium. So it's like there's a reason that the wokists have yet to actually crack Warhammer.
I see. Like,
the Games Workshop, the company that make it, they want more than anything to be woke. They put out statements, oh, we're for everyone. We're for intolerance and inclusion. It's like, yeah. Now tell me about your flagship product. Well, purge the Xenos, kill the heretic, exterminate the unclean. And it's just like, right, yeah. Tell me more about the inclusivity. You know,
you didn't include the most based argument, which is basically to dunk on a Scottish twink.
That's right. Also, Columba hates it. Don't worry, Columba, I'm going to paint you up a really nice model, mate. No, I like Columba.
You know, D has been trying to convince Columba that his real destiny is to just be a twink and to accept it. I think it's kind of fair.
I mean, he does obsess about Italy a lot.
Yeah.
He also, you've got to be gay if you're into Italy.
He also has like...
Sorry for your ears.
There's also rumours, like, I'm not sure how Columba earns his money. He may be a gigolo. I'm just saying.
That seems unfair.
No, he's not really. He's not really. What the truck show says, what are your thoughts on patriotic alternative?
I think that anyone who says the one book that I would save if I were on a desert island is Mein Kampf is no British nationalist.
Is that what he said? Is it?
Yep.
I see. Okay.
Hey guys, I'm a British nationalist. Isn't the guy we defeated in World War II awesome? No, you prick.
I feel like Laura makes good tea. So that's all I really know about.
Maybe.
Laura makes good tea. I know that much. Okay. Sage says, here is a mandate for AA. Buy Carl something nice. Also, Carl. I mean, I bought Carl lunch. Yeah. I bought him a lovely what was that scone thing? I bought
a rock cake, yeah,
and dinner,
and
two cigars,
and two cigars. Thank you.
So,
I didn't send the chat.
Buy Carl something nice, okay? Also, Carl, I've heard rumours of a Curtis Yarving X Lotus Eaters crossover. Do they have any basis?
I mean, possibly. One thing people have to remember is that I'm not really in charge of it, right?
You're not in charge of Lotus Eaters?
Well, no, not really.
Okay.
No, because, like, we've got, like, 15 people there. And, like, you know, they're a manager, there's an office manager, there's an editor, and a bunch of, and basically the content creators are just left to their own devices to make the content they think is good. So, I personally haven't got any plans, but I'm not saying any of, if one of them's emailed Curtis and I'm like, hey, can I interview you? Great, you know. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm not against the idea. I'm not going to veto it or anything.
I think Yarvin may be doing a show with my buddy Ara McIntyre soon.
Cool.
Because I saw they were trying to come up with the title earlier. And he said, oh, what about the democracy delusion? I was like, no, that's my title. That's my title.
Damn it, Aaron.
you know, so we were spitballing with, I suggested, what did I suggest to him? Real democracy's never been tried. How I learned to stop worrying and love Peter Thiel. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did you meet Curtis at the event?
I did. He was very nice.
Yeah. I spoke to him a few times. He's
very charming.
He's got that kind of
upper class Californian.
Yeah, he's got like slightly spaced out Californian thing going on, which makes it, you know.
No, he's a very nice chap. And he's a very interesting thinker. He thinks laterally.
Yeah, interesting guy. Yeah,
yeah.
The Angry Ep says, "What is the Holy Grail?"
That's a great question, because it's not clear what the Holy Grail is. It was, I think, it was some sort of stone originally, but it got like got sort of folded into the idea of a sort of chalice that contained like eternal life or something.
It's a mystery, isn't it? Yeah. The mystery of the Grail. Mm. What is it? I thought it was just like a golden cup.
Well, that's the thing. I think originally it was supposed to be some sort of stone, like magical stone. But I think it became like a chalice of some sort.
I see.
But I don't think it's clear, so... But people say the blood of Christ. No, it wasn't. That's the thing. The thing about the Grail Knights is it's actually a very pagan story. And this is something Evola talks about. The sort of Christian layer over the Arthurian mythos is definitely a later edition.
He has a whole book on the Holy Grail called The Mystery of the Grail, which was originally an appendix to Revolt of the Modern World, which he then released as a separate book. It's got some good stuff in there, but I still don't know what the Grail is.
Well, I don't think anyone knows.
Have you ever seen Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
You know, there's that suitcase which they open and it's just kind of shines in their face.
Yeah.
It's just that. It's just like, who cares what it is? I think it's just meant to be like something.
It represents the sort of transcendent, doesn't it?
No, don't. You can't mention that.
I can't.
Sense of Cominium says also I see you have a bottle of Penderyn on the go, a fine Welsh whiskey. At the weekend, Asda were doing Penderyn Legend Red Box for £20, dropped down from 33. I highly recommend it. A lovely drop. Yeah, my dad left that bottle of Penderyn here.
Go and get it.
It's a bit. I don't know. I like Scottish malts. I hate to be non-patriotic, but.
I think we can forgive
I don't know, it's on the like,
where is it?
It's just on the left there. On the table. The table of doom.
Oh right, I thought it was in the fridge.
Yeah. It's a bit peaty, I guess, for my taste, but smoky a little bit.
After the plum and salted caramel vodkas, it's probably gonna taste a bit bitter.
But anyway, let's taste it. Go on.
That smells nice.
Welsh whiskey, man.
I didn't even know Wales was capable of whiskey.
The Welsh can do anything. Wizards, going back many years.
Oh, yeah. How about an economy that doesn't rely on English subsidies?
All right, now. Did you ever see it? Do you know, I made a video once called An Economic History of Wales.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my mother didn't talk to me. I really upset her. With that video, I was like, shit, what have I done here? Because I was like, I basically pointed out that the coal mines were kind of a loss, like artificially kept alive for many years, kind of like a glorified kind of wage scheme, job scheme for many, many years. Yeah, she wasn't happy.
At least it wasn't just Roy Gibbs.
Kind of was. I mean, yeah. No, it was.
They had to work,
but... Yeah. You know,
because now it's just Gibbs.
Yeah, that's the only time. That's the only time that.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah, proper bottle, mind. This is Penderyn, the Welsh gold. It's called.
Yeah, no, that's
single
right.
malt. It's all right now.
Yeah, no, you complaining about the peaty flavour. I quite like it.
Let's taste it. I like Talisker. I like. Mm. I like whiskies that kind of turn.
John D, I hate you, Carl.
Yeah, he's calling me. He's calling me a two-timing C word. Thinks I'm two-timing him with.
I'm still the president of your fan club, John. So don't worry.
I wish I had girls after me and not men. You know, that'd be nice, wouldn't it? I am married.
Actually, I think it'd be way more dangerous.
Yeah. All right.
Thank God I'm ugly, frankly.
Oh, dear. Okay.
God, look at the amount of money you're making off of me, you son of
a... Come on. Look, these are all the super chats I get all the time.
Oh, yeah, all the time. Yeah.
It's not really... They need to buy courses. That's the main thing. How am I going to pay for all this?
I actually want to do the Trivium course that you've got. I haven't done it yet because you sent me a link to do them.
Buy it now.
Well, you sent me it for free. But I am actually going to do the trivia when I've got 5 minutes.
Yeah, you should.
It's actually one of those things that I think would be a good sort of refresher.
You should. Right? You should do it, yeah. I'm going to do, and tell you what, do you know where we did the Jordan Peterson stream before?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do at some point when I get a bit of time, I'm going to go through, I'm going to try to rewrite Peterson's communist conservative manifesto, right? The conservative manifesto. I'm going to try to render it into plain, legible English. Good sentence structure. I want to make the argument make sense to present it in its best possible form, you know.
It is a shame about that sort of conservative manifesto, but like I did a video response where I was basically look, there can't really be a conservative manifesto. The very concept of a manifesto as sort of a priori set of instructions is inherently leftist. So, you know, what can you do?
The Wonder of Four, you said the trivium is very much needed. Yeah, by you. You haven't used capital T. You haven't used a full stop. People have to use punctuation.
Yeah.
Know how to use a comma and
distinct
a semicolon.
Lack of merit.
Merit! Yeah, maybe when I'll do that stream, I'll bring back merit for that one stream. Merit sale, just for the stream only, you know.
I saw some of the comments being like, Carl slagging off the mid-century Germans, even though they'd have stopped all these things we hate. It's like, they're not the only people who would have stopped all the things we hate. And the thing is, there's a bunch of things about the mid-century Germans I actually don't like. And you shouldn't like either.
Like their egalitarianism, for example. Their
wild socialism. But
their socialism within one race, as
also,
it were.
Also, they're just retards.
Yeah.
Like, they're just genuinely retards.
You know, it was funny. I was really, you know... several of the prophets of doom met Hitler.
Oh, yeah.
Including Toynbee.
Yeah.
And Spengler. And Spengler, after spending like 2 hours with Hitler, bearing in mind now he was the Führer, went home and said, he's an idiot.
This guy's going to get us all fucking killed, this lads.
Spengler literally said, I think he's an idiot.
I'm reading Decline of the West at the moment.
And then wrote a book called
Hitler's a retard.
It was called
15 volume treatise.
Awesome book, The Hour of Decision.
Oh, yeah.
Amazing German title, right?
Yeah.
Which was then subsequently banned by the mid-century Germans due to his critical comments.
Oh, yeah.
And
Hitler was a snowflake, guy.
Yeah.
Well, it's just cringe, like simping after the losers of World War II. Why would I want to do that? They'd have stopped work. Well, look, fucking so would ISIS. You know, like loads of people stop woke. Why do we have to choose those?
I mean, if
Cecil Rhodes would be pro woke.
If we had like the British Empire of
Churchill would be
1850
anti-woke.
Or something, they would have stopped it.
Do you think Winston Churchill would be in favor of any of this shit? Hey, Sir Winston, can a boy be a girl? He'd be like, no, you buffoon. You know, obviously, for fuck's sake, it doesn't take Nazi Germany to stop woke.
No, true.
That's such a retarded thing. Like,
yes. They may have something else in mind, but okay, well, let's move on.
You think they're the only people who...
Yes, indeed.
Exactly, come on.
Indeed, yeah. The Truck Show says, what do you think of the worm pill?
What is the worm pill?
The idea that parasitical overgrowth in everyone has made everyone a slave to the parasite hive mind and recklessly sins 24/7. Sargon of Kakkad.
Oh.
Did you duck Marky C? I don't know what that means, but...
Do you mean, did I debate Mark Collett in 2018 and demolish him? Yes. Is that what they're asking?
I don't know. I don't know who Marky C is.
I think they're talking about Mark Collett. But yes, I have debated Mark Collett.
Okay.
So no, I'm not ducking him. Is Mark Collett desperate for relevance by attracting my attention? That is also true.
Mm-hmm. The only time
to be fair, I'm not trying to be mean to Mark Collett. I don't actually hate the guy or anything. It's just such stupid moves.
Like, I've never really watched this stuff, to be honest.
Well, I think I was stupid with UKIP, man. Fucking, this is really retarded. You know,
I remember if I seem to recall Russell. I used to watch Russell Brand years ago. And I'm fairly sure that Russell Brand... What?
Did he have Mark Collette on?
I think Russell Brand... No,
that's
no,
actually
no,
great.
No, Russell Brand, before he was famous, had a show called We Brand.
Oh, yeah.
Where he did really weird things. He had a boxing match with his dad. He took in a tramp.
God, I hope his dad won.
Right? He took in a tramp.
Yeah.
And, like, it was really odd. Like, he gave a tramp a bath and, like, looked after him for a week. And, like, he was trying to, like, get to know him and all this sort of stuff. Okay. And I'm fairly sure in that same series, he spent a week with Mark Collette. Like, when he was like, why are you a Nazi, mate? And all this sort of stuff.
Well, that's a good
question. And all this sort of stuff.
Like, you can say, at least in Mark Collette's defense, that at least he has a sincere conviction. I don't think he's grifting, but that's not exactly high praise. Like, again, I don't hate Mark Collette or anything, but, like, you know, it's kind of cringe to me.
I mean, my in light of Sensible Center, right? My recommendation is, if the organization is on a government list,
you're probably not winning.
I'm just like, you have to box clever a little bit. That's all. There's ways and means to talk about things without, like, getting yourself, like, listed by intelligence services and having, like, an officer track you, you know. Not that they're not tracking us, Carl, but, you know.
I know that they think that we of us, but, like, it does seem... I mean, the thing is, right, and, like, conversely, Patriotic Alternative have done some worthy protests of late, actually, that have got the Guardian to spurg the fuck out. And so, you know, I don't want to be mean to them.
Right? They're good at doing those stunts that then give them more publicity. I'll give them that.
And they provoke the left into revealing their hand, which is very good and very useful. So, like, while I might not ideologically agree with Mark Collette's Hitler simping, I'm not saying they haven't done anything productive, but I would never join them, and I don't really want to deal with them.
I don't know Mark.
British government, I hope you're listening. No, I don't know.
I've never talked to him.
No. Well, I've debated him.
I had Laura on once, who was a nice girl, but we talked about the importance of language and,
not
you know,
political.
And we talked about, like, what does the word fascism mean, right? And, like, are you a fascist, basically, you know? And she was just explaining, like, on that show, she was just explaining what she stands, you know, what she stands for and stuff. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, they are trying to, I think they are trying to help at the end of the day. But it's difficult. We're in such a difficult situation at the moment.
But the thing is, a lot of the time, the problem is, I think your analogy of the wrestling match here is actually really useful.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seems to me that they are content to play the heel.
Playing the heel, yeah.
And that's not wise, because that gives the establishment a free punching bag. And it makes it very easy for them to be like, look, the Nazis.
I mean, this is what I've said about the whole... I've been saying this over and over, especially since I started the whole Sensible Center idea, right? Which is that, at the moment, right, Hollyoaks... I don't know if you've seen that show, Hollyoaks. It's like a...
I know what it is.
It's like a shitty soap type thing. Actually, went to school with a guy who was in that for a while. It's actually...
Does it pay well?
Should I say that on there? Well, I always remember...
Now he's in trouble.
I always remember this moment
where
we were stuck outside this club. You know, like back in the day, you'd go to a club and there'd be like queues outside.
Yeah.
I remember we were like, all of us were sitting, and he was like, shall I play the Hollyoaks card to get us into the club, right?
Yes, go on.
Yeah, to be fair, I think he did. I mean, he did get us into the club, but still.
Do young people now go to clubs?
I saw that club attendance is down about 40%.
Yeah, because I like
40%. Yeah,
where I live in Swindon, it was always the bottom of town that was heaving when I was in my 20s. It was massive, and now all of the nightclubs are shut down. There aren't any of the nightclubs.
Yeah, same in my hometown. Yeah.
And these nightclubs used to be amazing as well. Like, if young people aren't going to them, then they're going to shut down. But the thing is, they used to be brilliant. Like, oh my God, so many great nights with me and my mates out in these clubs. And obviously I got too old, which is fair enough. But, like, if young people aren't going to clubs now, what the fuck are they doing with their time? Not having fun.
They're just on their phone.
Yeah.
Not talking to each other.
It's fucking lame.
Wanking.
Young people, you suck.
Yeah.
Losers.
That's why they're not having sex or pulling or...
Look, you fucking incels. Go and get a beer.
But anyway, this brings me back to what I was saying, right? Which is that... The thing is that...
Hang on. Playing games and doing drugs. No. I was playing games and doing drugs as well. But we still went to clubs. We still went and had fun.
I never did drugs. I never drank. I never went out. No, I'm joking. I always hated it though.
I don't know. It depends why you went, right? Because a lot of the time you go out to try and pull and then you fail at pulling and then you'd be annoyed, right? But also, if you went out to have a good time and just get drunk and have fun with your mates, we used to have some really great rock clubs in Swindon.
Right.
Yeah. And that's my sort of music. And so we go out and just get hammered and listen to some great music and just dance and whatever. And it was really great night. And so it's gutting these places to close down.
I was from a little town in Wales. There was one club, which was the Cheesy Club, right? It'd be like, we go there at the 17, 18 year old.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night, Saturday night.
Yep.
Reach for the stars, you know. And I was in the back of the club. There was a wall it had like people had drawn on it, right? And there was a spot on that wall with it just said jackpot. And that was basically the wall. Like if you'd pulled, you'd get off on the jackpot wall, you know. But then there was a slightly cooler club down the road where like they played a little bit more.
Yeah.
But basically if you wanted to go anywhere good, you'd have to go to Cardiff.
Really. Before I went to university, I lived in Newquay, so we had loads of clubs, and they were all pretty good, actually, now I think about it. Back then, like, a lot of them, we were very, like, I don't want to say sophisticated, because we weren't sophisticated, but, like, we had a high sense of what a good club was,
mm-hmm.
and there were lots of clubs that, like, looking back now, I guess young people would probably consider to be amazing, because look at what the options are now, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, back then, we were very discerning about these things. And so we'd be like, these clubs are shit, even though they're massive and they're always packed. Like, it was really weird. And then I went to university in Coventry, and there were loads of clubs there. And I moved to Swindon. There were loads of clubs here. And so, and they're good varieties. I feel bad for young people now, man. We were lucky.
Did you ever go through that era where people used to drink, like, absinthe, shots of...
I was never a fan.
2-3 shots of absinthe. You'd be absolutely fucked, Flaming Drambuies.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I like tequila.
I forgot what I was saying now. Anyway.
I'm sure it's
be important. Sensible and stay centered.
That's correct, yeah.
Oh, no, Hollyoaks, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They ran a storyline recently about black pill incels. Have you seen it? Let me show you.
I saw the... Connor did one about the Coronation Street UKIPper. Who's like beating up immigrants. And the thing is, like, if it wasn't for the beating up immigrant children, everything he said would have been absolutely based.
Right. Let me just show you. I'll just share my screen so you can see what we're looking at here. See this here, right?
Yeah.
This figure. An incel black pill ideology, right? This is what they're pushing on.
Dark web search. You mean Twitter?
Yeah. This is what they're look. This character here. Yeah. Now,
how rigged society is against us. Well, I mean, try getting a career in the RAF, lad, as a white man.
So, the point I'm trying to make is right.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years ago, the monitoring of the quote unquote far right was moved from the police to intelligence services and counterterrorism.
Prevent.
Mm-hmm. And from a focus on radical Islam to all this sort of stuff, okay?
Yeah.
So they are...
The radical left control the government.
Right. So, we know this.
Yeah.
Okay? One, we know this. Number two, we have literally just been told that the FBI have got a special place for America First and certain Zoomer well-known internet personality, right?
Don't they have weirdly long fingers as well?
Yes.
Whenever I see the clips, weirdly long fingers? Maybe I'd say I do, I'm sure.
So, okay, you're sensible, you're centered.
I'm going to join Yee 2024.
I mean, you understand what I'm saying,
yeah,
right?
It's fucking retarded. Yeah.
Like, dude, whatever, like, the government is making a box. You can jump in the fucking box and paint a target on your back, yeah. Or you cannot do that.
Why don't you just start questioning how many cookies could be baked?
You cannot do that. You yeah. understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's fucking retarded.
So, yes. All I'm saying is, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
Because when you're stuck in a jail cell, none of those people who are giving you likes on Twitter are going to give a shit.
No.
Those people who
they can't
went
do
to jail,
even if they did.
Those people who went to jail for Trump, he didn't help them. Nobody gave a shit. You know, you're
They're
buggered.
Still in jail. They're still in jail.
None of your.
We interviewed one of the January 6th guys, and he, like, Josh interviewed him. He's like, fucking hell, this has been a tremendous injustice. Like, even that, okay, let's say, you know, everything that the mainstream said about the January 6th rioters is true. 2 years in jail without trial is is beyond the pale. Right? It's just anyway.
So my point is, we are what I've shown you. The government painting a box. They're literally showing you on TV what they're after.
Anyone who stands in this box is in trouble.
Right. So what don't you do?
You don't go and stand in the box.
Don't shave your head, call yourself an incel, and make rape jokes on Twitter and support bloody...
Oh, I'm feeling personally attacked now, Jesus.
You understand what I'm saying? you understand what I'm saying, though, right? Yeah. Sorry, I forgot about your rape joke. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying. Yeah. Okay. I mean, yours was kind of like a double negative. It's quite clever. Yeah. I'm talking about these guys they're kind of pro-rape. You know, not cool. No.
But the thing is that I feel bad because, like, I don't want to just, you know, like, use these people as punching bags. Like I said, I don't hate Mark Collette. I don't hate Laura Tower or anything like that. I don't hate them. And, you know, the protests have been effective and good for doing effective things. But your framing is just terrible. And, like, you know, Hitler simping is cringe. And, like, you're just making yourselves look like obvious villains, and I don't think that is a good strategy.
So the thing is that...
And Nick Fuentes as well. It's like I don't hate Nick Fuentes. I did a debate against Hassan Piker, Destiny, with Nick Fuentes.
Did you?
Yeah, this was a few years ago, before he was famous. And so nobody knew who he was. He was just a Catholic at the time, right? And he was quite articulate, right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't bad in the debate, but no one knew he was going to be like, yeah, okay, and also, the Nazis, they wouldn't do the whole. What are you doing?
I think that can I put this? We watch mistakes made by Spencer. You know, I told Spencer this like when I talked to him.
Yeah.
You know, what I'm frustrated by is just a refusal to learn from obvious errors, right? We all watch the disaster of the Charlottesville. We all watched the disaster of January the 6th. So to watch people after all of that, let's just leap into the next fucking trap that, you know, at some point I have to say, well, either these people aren't honest actors or they're so stupid that they might as well be.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Like, and I'm happy to take all of the flack in the world for, you know, being a clown in UKIP, right?
Mm-hmm.
But at least I was consciously being a clown in UKIP and I wasn't.
But also, you've learned.
Yeah, but I also...
We all learned from it, you know.
Yeah. And it was to see what the system would do, you know. Mm-hmm. But also, I didn't do anything that was like, right, okay, now this is a permanent black mark. Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, mm-hmm. You know, you denied the Holocaust. So you did this. Well, no, come on. Don't be fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, you operate in the real world.
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, it's like... How can I put it? Imagine, like, you're a dissident Catholic living under the rule of Edward the Sixth, or you're a dissident Protestant living under Bloody Mary or something, okay? You'd know, you'd have to box a bit clever, right? You don't go out there, I'm going to, under Edward the Sixth, I'm going to go out, you know, five Hail Marys, I love the Pope, you know, you're going to get yourself killed.
Yeah.
You have to be smart.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that, you know, I will say, though, to come back to the original question, PA, in fairness to them, are more sensible than some of those other groups. They have, which is not saying much.
Not saying much, but you are right.
They have been basically a bit better in their presentation than some of the others.
You are right. I mean, I'm sure I saw one of them was arrested for terrorism or something.
Right, yeah.
But I don't take my word for it. I can't remember. I'm a bit drunk, so I might be wrong. Someone was arrested for terrorism, so obviously disavow.
The truck show has said, but isn't any effective and real resistance to the system going to attract attention from MI5? Effectively, we have to do a form of adhesive movement, which PA are doing. This isn't meant as a dig. I respect you both, but eventually we have to organise. The trouble is that organisation, remember, all power is in the organised minority, okay? They know this, so it draws the eye of Sauron like nothing else, okay? And I just don't think we are in a spot. We just don't have the power to do that because they'll literally crush you like a grape.
You don't even have the power to get a mouse mat that sits flat on the fucking
head. Yeah, exactly. Look at that.
What is going on with your mouse mat?
Sorry, yes.
It's offensive. Incapable organization.
Sorry, yes, exactly.
Patreon's content wouldn't even want you.
Yeah, exactly.
Distributist Dave made a great point about this. So look, whatever it is, like this is why the alt-right failed. It's because they didn't have like essentially like a middle-class narrative to be able to allow people to publicly profess their allegiance without being shamed out of society. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether you like it or not, that is the reality of it.
Mm.
And you've got to have that to be able to bring in money and respectability. And you can complain about the fairness of that all you want, but that is a necessary thing.
See, the thing is that having studied successful revolutionary movements in the past, right?
And for anyone who wants to do that, there's a great podcast by Mike Duncan, the guy who did the history of Rome, called Revolutions. Mm-hmm. It's a really good podcast. I really recommend it.
But I mean, I think I talk about this in the Populist Illusion somewhere. Mm. Like Lenin, right? Even Hitler. These people, it's not like they didn't have some elite backing.
Lenin had massive corporate backing.
Yeah, as did, right? And Hitler, it wasn't just like a few ragtag guys.
They had loads of academics.
They had and they had the old conservative German establishment, the remnants of the old Prussian, and they had a lot of people behind them.
Yeah.
We don't have that.
No.
So it's a hide into nothing, is what I'm saying at the minute. So it's really just being realistic about where we are.
But, and I just want to be clear as well, because I'm sorry, but just National socialism or fascism or anything like that, like, it's not good. It's just not good as an ideology. There are flaws in the ideology itself that we could spend hours going over.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like these things are just not good in and of themselves. They don't produce the results you're looking for.
I also don't think there's much value in endlessly re-articulating basically 20th century ideologies.
Absolutely.
Because I've talked about this before. Ideology.
18th century ideologies. Right. That's what we need.
I've said this before. Basically all ideologies, right?
Yeah.
Are kind of post hoc rationalizations of what power's already done, right?
This is exactly Oakeshott's position on all ideology.
Yeah, exactly right. And Oakeshott was right. It's also Pareto and various other people who pointed height even. It is like you have a disposition, you have a feeling, you have a power does stuff, right? And somebody then has to justify it after the fact. Yeah, go on.
So Sensum Communum says, and yet, Carl, the endgame of liberalism, classical or not, is far worse. No. Fascism is a part of the endgame of liberalism, right? Fascism is innately managerial. It's intrinsically rationalistic and managerial.
Mm-hmm.
It is an outgrowth of revolutionary socialism. Mm-hmm. You are just on the same train. Mm-hmm. You're just getting off at a later stop. And this is the point. Don't be on that fucking train.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, this is why traditionalism and sensible centrism is a non-ideological way of approaching politics. Like you're operating like the sense in sensible is important. The root word there is important because you're acting from experience directly enacting on the world rather than from an a priori ideological perspective, like fascism or like Nazism or like communism.
Mm-hmm. You
know, we are in the real world. We're real people who are really dealing with real problems as presented by reality through the sense datum we get, not through rationalistic calculation. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
Yes. The truck show, I will say, though, I'm not defending Mussolini here, but I will say...
Important caveat. I'm not defending Mussolini.
Right, I will say, though, that in the case of Italian fascism, he literally just went to the... He marched on Rome.
Yeah.
He said, here's my... I just want to lead.
Yeah.
Based. That part of what he did, right? Not, here's my, like, here's my ready-made out manifesto. I want to run the show.
He spent, what, 15 years as a socialist?
Yeah, but...
So he had a manifesto.
It doesn't matter.
So he had it all planned.
But if you look at how fascism developed in Italy,
yeah,
it changed. He had a period as a socialist. He had a period as a classical liberal, believe it or not. He had a period as... So basically the point is, whatever that ideology was, literally was what Mussolini made up.
Of hate about ideology itself is the idea that it can be detached from a time and a place. Mm-hmm. It can't. Like, Italian fascism is so interconnected with the formation of the Italian nation state.
Yes.
That it becomes weird when you're like, okay, so now we're going to take that to France. It's like, why?
All of those are... all of those moments are tied to the time and the place. Yeah. You can't abstract them out and export them. And this is the whole problem with trying to make, what was English classical liberalism, trying to abstract that and like
giving it to the French.
Giving it to other people.
No, giving it to the French specifically is what turns it into sort of a proto-fascism through Rousseau. And this is, Giovanni Gentile, I think it was, in The Origins and Doctrine of Fascism, talks extensively about what was the guy who was instrumental in the formation of the Italian nation state.
I think his name was Mazzini or something.
That's it, Mazzini. Yes, yeah. That's exactly it. Mm-hmm. He explicitly goes on about how it's essentially a continuation of Mazzini's protocols. And it's like, okay, great, but this is to deal with the problems of the divided cities of Italy.
Yes,
not to the ancient continuum of England, for example, the highly like intellectual nature of France, right? Mm-hmm. Or the deeply confused nature of Germany, right? It's mm-hmm. a very Italian solution to an Italian problem. And that's mm-hmm. fine, but it can't go anywhere else other than Italy and work.
Exactly,
it
didn't
really work in Italy, but like mm-hmm. it can't go anywhere else. And this is the problem with ideology, is it's a lie that, oh, you can just take these set of political traditions and apply them somewhere else and they'll just work. It's like, no, they won't. They never do.
Exactly. You're right. Yeah. I agree with that. And what the thing is that my view is what is called ideology is a description after the fact most of the time.
Yeah.
Most of the time it says even Locke, right?
100%.
Even Locke was basically plucked to justify stuff they'd already done. They were like, oh, where can we find, oh, this dude. Right, that'll do, you know.
Well, what's great? Locke is literally justifying the American the English colonization of the Americas. That's literally what Locke's philosophy is for.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exactly as you say, and it works for the English in America because they're English.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's bollocks.
I have the view that if you're in the mode of outlining your ideology. I mean, this is why the Jordan Peterson manifesto failed, right?
Yeah, it can't work.
You can't write a manifesto to embody the sort of position we're trying to come from here, which is not an ideology, essentially. It's a... anyway.
But it is a kind of will to power, you know?
The truck show says, in 2021, CT went to visit Ray, who runs BitChute, to monitor the site more. And especially watch out for the terrorist group, the Incel.
CT is a counter-terrorism, isn't it?
Maybe. As apparently they were very, very dangerous and well-organized.
I just want to say, we've spoken to the lads at BitChute and they've always been absolutely brilliant. The problem, that if BitChute ever censors anyone, it's because the government has made them do it.
Yeah, the British government may shut down loads of sites on...
BitChute's based in the UK.
Yeah, CT are clueless about our scene. What a joke. No, they're not. The thing is, they're not the truck show, right? I'll give you an example. On Southern Poverty Law Centre, right, which we were looking at a document earlier, weren't we?
Yeah, but that was on the British government website.
British government website quoting Southern Poverty Law Centre.
Yeah.
On the SPLC, they have a spreadsheet, right, where they have, the TRS guys and the Enoch and all those guys.
Next to Ben Shapiro.
Right. They have a spreadsheet where they track guests on their show, on guests on TRS, okay, by date, frequency. And basically the whole point is they run this whole analysis and they say, like, oh, we have noticed that basically after deplatforming them and so on, they become more isolated and they've booked. Not like I've got my spreadsheet for Unpopular Opinions.
Yeah.
They basically, like, did that for them.
Deeply autistic.
Yeah. Right, deeply autistic, like, obsessive detail.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, well, we've noticed that they now book almost nobody outside of their inner circle, right? If that's not knowledge of this, I mean, that's better knowledge of the scene than anybody watching the show has got. Mm. So I it is not the case that they're clueless about the scene. They're not. I have seen...
Yeah, they're watching carefully.
I have seen government... I have seen documents from intelligence services, Australian ones, British ones, American ones, where... The level of detail is like, you know, they even get into like drama. Like, oh, this dude has fallen out with this dude. Like, sometimes.
Imagine getting paid by the government to follow like Wignat drama.
They're really into it. Like, they're into. Seriously.
No, Mike Pinovich is going to do something brilliant. Watch.
The ADL know who's into who, who's fallen out with who.
It's like them getting paid to watch Hollywood.
You know, the only people who do drama more is fucking Keith Woods and boyfriend. You know?
I don't know anything about Keith Woods.
It doesn't matter.
I've never like seen anything from him. I don't know. Like, it's only you who I've ever heard mention the name.
Well, I'll forget about him.
Oh, okay.
All right. So let's carry on. Okay. So.
Dee's dropped off when I denounced Hitler. Oh, fuck's sake, Dee. I was just watching the chat, sorry. I'm joking, I'm just making sure.
Dee is no fan of...
I'm enjoying this malt whiskey. It's very good. I like the taste. Is it like the good?
Be careful, mine. It's like 50% or something, 47%. But yeah, okay, fair enough.
Tomorrow's podcast is going to be fun.
It was a Helen Dale carry job, is that right?
Helen Dale will have... I mean, thankfully, she is strong enough to carry me. So, thank fuck.
I told you I met her. She is
wonderful. She's wonderful.
She's tall though.
Oh yeah, she's very tall.
Towers over me.
Me too. Yeah, we're not very tall. That's what. But Helen's really, really based as well.
So. Yeah. Like prop. Yeah, like scarily based.
Helen, calm down. The government's watching.
Yeah. WR finger says.
She is lovely though.
She's a nice girl.
Supportive mind. I really like her.
Nice girl. WR finger is just giving me $10. Thank you very much. Means so much. EC90 says, Carl, the job spec for developers seems pretty unrealistic. Someone with that experience and skills would live in Swindon to work on an alt-right podcast is going to be a unicorn.
Well, A, we're not alt-right. B, is developer skills, like, unusual? And C... Well, I guess we'll just hopefully get a unicorn then.
Okay. That'll be the best thing. Well, see what the CV could...
We've got a bunch of applications, so... I'm not the one who's in charge of it. Michael's in charge of it. But like, we've got a bunch of applications, so... You know, and we'll pay them money.
I think you'll be surprised, EC90. I think when... companies struggle to hire, but most companies don't have... kind of 200,000 people plus to hit, right? You've got a very wide base of people you can hit.
Oh, yeah, about like 7 million views a month on YouTube alone.
Right, I mean, most companies don't have that. So there's a, you know, you'd be surprised.
And we're a nice place to work as well.
Maven Politics says...
I'm a shit boss.
An AA viewer has had dinner with Alien Man twice.
Alien Man?
Alien Man is a guy called Simon Parks, who is a part of the Kook Sphere. Back when the election shenanigans were happening, he was doing these updates saying he was getting intel drops and things like that.
Oh yeah, I love conspiracies.
Yeah, he's like a proper conspiracy man.
How have I never heard of him?
You may have seen him. Let me show you Simon Parks. Simon Parks.
Simonparks.org, eh?
This dude? Do you ever see him?
I've never heard of him.
He did, like...
I love conspiracies, too. I can't believe I've never heard of
him. I mean, I tell you, he was selling shields against 5G.
I don't want to get infected by 5G.
Which is just like a USB stick with a sticker on it, basically.
Brilliant. To protect you from... I'll take 10.
I don't know if he's still selling those.
But, you know, there's a sort of, like, sweetness to the conspiracy sphere, because they're all sort of like pro-humanity, you know?
It's kind of got a boom of love to him, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And there's always this kind of, like, you know, we just want what's best for everyone, and we're convinced that the government's putting, you know, 5G in the water to turn the frogs gay or whatever, and they don't want that. And it's like, that. The intention is not bad, you know?
I think what it is, though, they want to tell people stuff they want to hear. So he was always going, like, you know, Trump is in control, Patriots, you know, we're going to see, like, Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, I wish I was a planned truster.
There was going to be, like, he was like a proper,
yeah,
you know.
I wish I was.
But I remember I watched the Biden inauguration with commentary from Charlie Ward and Simon Parks, who were from this sphere. Hmm. And they were laughing and saying, like, Biden's a hologram and none of this is really happening. And Trump is still really the president and all this sort of stuff, you know.
God, I wish Biden was a fucking hologram.
So, you know.
Patriots in control. Yeah, no, it's just such a cope, isn't it? That's the problem.
They're selling people, like, false hope, basically. Mm. That's what it is. Which is, you know, it's kind of like a trust fraud in a way, I guess, yeah. Or something like that. A confidence trickster, I guess you'd call it, you know.
Yeah, but the thing is, I do think a lot of them aren't consciously doing it. I feel like a lot of them are, like, they've kind of deluded themselves into believing, no, this can't be the case, you know. Like, I don't think they're cynical actors.
Well, he would always be like, oh, well, sources have told me, you know. And the thing is that
yeah.
He had a weird way of predicting the news, like, 3 days in advance.
Really?
Which is why he ended up getting loads and loads.
Right, okay.
And I started watching, I was like, oh, okay, let's see where this... Because if you remember, when Trump refused to concede, we were totally off the fucking reservation.
I know, it was great.
For a couple of weeks there, we were like, what the hell is happening?
I remember being in the office, and everyone's like, Trump's not conceded. And we've got a pull-up machine, I was just doing some pull-ups, and I was like, oh, it's going to get good. But it didn't get good. And then Bolsonaro, if you it didn't get good.
I know.
This season of American politics has been very disappointing.
Yeah, it's been poor. We need a good blow-off.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like it's going to happen, though.
I'm going to stop paying attention. I'm going to change the channel.
WRF Finger says, when will AA appear for a symposium on the Lotus Eaters?
Great question. When are you going to come on the podcast?
After losing weight, maybe?
Yeah, but you said that like 2 years ago.
I know.
You've lost, if you put on weight.
Yeah, I'll have to lose weight.
How about the weight isn't the factor that we're waiting on?
I have to lose weight before I appear on, if I'm going to go on.
I'd like you on the podcast, though.
Okay. All right. I agreed to do that new culture thing, but I have to lose 2 stones.
Yeah, but you won't come on my podcast.
I'll do yours. I'll do yours.
Peter Wurzel's great. You should definitely do
that. I'll do yours too.
He's a lovely guy.
I'll do yours. I'll come on and be like, you know, hello.
Hello, let me explain Carl Schmitt to you.
Yes. Carl Schmitt was a Nazi. But don't panic.
Because it turns out that all politics is friend-enemy.
All right. Lady of Shalott says, I've been a follower of Kelly J. Keene for years. She's been a guest on Lotus Eaters many times.
Mm.
Do you think the gentlemen think the Turks will win the war?
I think they already have won the war, actually, which is why wokeness is being put back in the box. Because Turf Island has actually defeated the gay on this issue.
I've always thought the trans issue would be the first one to be put away.
It's the weakest one.
It's the weakest one,
by far the weakest one. And it only took Scottish women in the Scottish Parliament pulling up their skirts and showing their vaginas to the Scottish cabinet for them to be like, okay, I think it's time to put the transgender issue away, lads.
I mean,
it's driving the women mental. Did you see look at my cunt?
Did you see?
That's literally what they were doing. Like, literally, oh, pointing at their crotches. Cunt, look at this. And it was like, okay, enough, enough.
Did you see on Twitter a lot of the Black History Month grift is going badly? They're struggling to get bookings.
Yes, I did.
That's a good sign.
Yep.
You know,
I've had one booking this Black History Month. Yeah, well, that's one too many, isn't it?
It's like, yeah, their grift is dying.
Good.
Yeah.
I really like Kelly J. Keene because she really wants to talk about feminism whenever we're hanging out and we're talking about stuff. And the thing is, I'm obviously like not feminism, but like women's issues. And I'm obviously some kind of misogynist, right?
Mm-hmm.
But she's a really nice person. And on a personal level, I think I really like her, right? Mm-hmm. I think she's really, like, just regular English lady, you know, mm-hmm. really friendly to talk to. And so I always have to, like, bite my tongue not to be trollish
mm-hmm.
when she's saying, oh, these are women's issues. I'm like, yeah, they are.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say anymore. Because she's lovely. She's really, yeah. lovely. You know, I actually really like her.
Okay. Monothelma says, a piece of drunk life advice for an aspiring young historian, please. Me or you or...
Don't eat the yellow snow. Which is good advice.
Do a PhD. Write.
Is that good advice?
Well, typically you get your PhD published as a book. That will teach you how to do book proposals. You can then start bringing out books. And then try to transition to write for a popular audience, I would say.
Well, yeah, don't ask me. I couldn't tell you how to be an historian. I don't have a PhD.
So, I mean, I think you have to pretty much, in this day and age, to be a professional historian, you probably need to, you know, get a PhD, I'd imagine. And come out the other end of it without resisting like woke and you know various strands of historicism and Hayden. They'll try to like teach you Hayden White.
My advice, this is all technical stuff.
Yeah.
My advice right is actually pick the proper term for like the number authentic interpretation of history is. Herodotus is right. It was 2.5 million Persians, right?
Right, yeah.
That's the authentic numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't fall into modernist revisionism. This mm-hmm. is obvious, total bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
2.5 million, they drank rivers dry, right? You mm-hmm. commit to that position. That's my advice to the modern story. Because the modern position is, A, not only overflowing with realistic, serious, professional historians, which is fucking boring, right? But it's also, look, what do they know? They're 2,500 years out from the events, right?
Yeah,
Herodotus was talking to the guy who got took around the Persian camp. Mm-hmm. 2.5 million it is, mm-hmm. okay?
Yeah.
Fuck that person. Fuck modern historians.
What about, I think Bronze Pervert says somewhere, I think he said it in his book, which is a good fun if you haven't read it. He says basically a lot of history is lies.
Duh.
And the reason that it's lies is because it's written by nerds.
Obviously.
And nerds always have an incentive to lie.
You know what, which is true. You ever read Pericles' Funeral Oration?
No, I haven't. No.
It's brilliant, right? And there's a bit in it that's a genuine piece of like timeless wisdom where Pericles is like, listen, there is a problem with recounting circumstances because men hear someone has done something and think, I can't persuade myself I could do the same. And mm-hmm. so I don't believe you did it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so they start downplaying everything that someone else has done, these great events that other people have done, because they themselves don't feel that they're capable of those heroic achievements.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what modern historicity is. Mm-hmm. It's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, no, I'm some fucking nerd who's never left Cambridge and I've mm-hmm. never been punched in the face. I don't believe that Darius brought 2.5 million men from the Persian Empire. It's like, well, look, Uh-huh. You know, Darius, do you know, sorry, Cyrus.
Cyrus, yeah.
Do you know, no, it was Darius, actually. It wasn't Cyrus invading. No, Xerxes invading.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. But do you know how Xerxes counted his men?
No.
He literally he counted out 25,000, drew a square around them, and then got them to cross the Hellespont. Then he got he filled that square How would you count millions of men?
That's
a good standard.
Good
right?
method.
Okay, it's going to be inaccurate to a few men per square.
Good.
Right? But that's actually a really clever way of doing it.
Nice.
And modern historians like, nah, he can't count. It's like, no, you weren't there and you don't fucking know. Mm. Shut the fuck up. I'm genuinely serious. Shut the fuck up, modern historians. You don't know.
Yes.
These people there were not incompetent. They're not incapable of counting.
One of the terrible things that modern historians do as well is that they always try to come back to a material reason for people doing things.
Absolutely.
Not the transcendent
dishonor.
The transcendent spirit that really drove them a lot of the time.
The reason you know why Xerxes invaded, right?
Go on.
Because the Athenians insulted him by burning down Sardis.
Bad.
And literally, he had a servant in his ear going, remember the Athenians. And he's like, yeah, good point. I'll spend 5 years gathering supplies so I can lead the largest expedition in all of history to go and fucking raise Athens. And he did it.
Based.
Yeah, it's kind of based, actually. It's like, it was kind of based. But I just hate modern historians. I hate the he couldn't have brought millions of men. Why not? The Persian Empire was the largest empire in history until that point. If anyone had access to millions of men, it was Xerxes.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry.
Yes, indeed. Okay. Matt C says, favorite Aphex Twin album and song. Well, I always liked the famous one with the funny video. The
monster in it.
Window Licker.
Yeah.
Window Licker.
I always feel like I'm being abused by Aphex Twin videos.
But there's I can't remember the name of the song now, but they've got one piano track. It's just piano.
Yeah.
Solo piano piece.
Yeah.
I kind of like that Aphex Twin song. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of it now. Ben Frail says, $20 a month for a verified Facebook account. Ha. Is that true?
Yes. Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg announced that he was going to copy Elon Musk's idea of selling verification. And I was like, okay, but Mark, the reason I'm paying for verification on Twitter is because I support Elon Musk's project of resurrecting all of our Twitter accounts. I mean, he literally brought me back from the dead. You've done nothing.
Yes, exactly, yes.
I'm not going to support you. You know, But there are people who say, you paid for Twitter. It's like, no, essentially this is Elon Musk's Patreon that I'm prepared to pay into.
Yes.
You know, because I support what he's doing.
I still haven't done mine because I'm scared to put my phone number in there. In case they're like, because, you know, everybody's been brought back.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Apart from me.
Really? Oh, right. So you're thinking they'll go, ban evasion.
Yeah, exactly. So if I put my phone number in, Roland Rat could be a goner.
Nobody wants that.
I need to get a leather phone. I was refused. They literally wrote and said, we've reviewed your thing and no, your ban was just. Do you know what I was banned for?
Being a prick.
I literally replied to a commie. You know that line from Robin Hood?
Yeah.
You know,
which one?
I'll eat your liver with a spoon or whatever it is. I'll eat your heart with a spoon.
Yeah.
That quote from Robin Hood.
I mean, out of context, it does sound kind of bad.
So they were like, that is a physical threat and violates the policy.
Mm. I mean,
that's the only thing I've ever done wrong on Twitter. And because of that, all my other accounts were also banned.
Man, I was really, I drink very infrequently, right? So literally once every 6 months, I'll have a drink. And or 3 months in this case, but I was out at the backyard comedy with Dank and a few others,
mm-hmm.
and I was really drunk. And I got back to the hotel, and John Wong had messaged me, mate, I think your Twitter's back. And I was really fucking drunk. I was like, And so I loaded up. I can't believe really drunk. I figured out the login to my Twitter that I hadn't logged into in about 5 fucking years. And I saw that I could see stuff and I could do stuff. And I was like, and I'm sat really drunk on the toilet, just being like, how do I deal with this? And I was like, no, I'll do it tomorrow. I just went to bed. But it was mental. It felt like I'd literally been brought back from the dead.
Deplorable Patriarch says, Nigel Biggar's new book, Regis Professor of Morality, Oxford.
Bigel who?
I actually met Nigel Biggar.
Bigel who?
Nigel Biggar.
Bigel who? No, I'm joking.
You're missing
the joke.
I don't get jokes. I don't understand any jokes. Even when drunk, I don't understand. It's autism, mate.
Tell me about Bigel some more.
No, I met him. He put on a conference that I went to at Oxford once. Yeah. The talk I gave is still up online somewhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, he has a new book called Colonialism, A Moral Reckoning, shows we did nothing wrong. Devastating to the left as it destroys dishonest critical race theory narratives.
My view on the British Empire is very much my view on the Imperium of Man and Warhammer 40,000. Who are the good guys in Warhammer 40,000? The Imperium of Man, because they're the humans. And I'm a human.
Mm-hmm.
Any further questions? So who are the good guys in the realm of Empire? The British. Why? Because I'm British. Any further questions?
Mm-hmm. No.
Exactly.
You see, the British... You see, this is what I'm trying to say, though.
I'm just done.
The British Empire...
What about my abstract moral equivocation? I don't care.
The British Empire was pro itself.
Yeah, exactly.
American Empire fucking isn't. I know. The American Empire is anti-humanity.
I know, it's awful.
This is my whole point. Yeah, exactly, Daughter of Albion. Sorry, we're not sorry.
Yeah. No, but look, there are no good guys in 40K. Yes, there are, they're called the fucking humans! You're a human!
Remember.
Fuck's sake!
We're gonna get
this is liberal propaganda. Oh, there are no good guys. There are us. We are the humans who are constantly being resisted, being eaten by aliens.
I just have to apologize to my neighbors here. Sorry. It's going to be like... okay. Mighty Sebastian says, hey guys, why do you think there are so many low intelligence individuals on the right who seem to revel in its current low status position? Particularly the trads you have run into, among others.
Doesn't John Dee have a particularly good analysis of this?
What does he say?
I'm sure that he said something a while ago. If it's not John, then I apologize for whoever it was. But there was someone who was making an analysis that was like, there's a kind of, it's a kind of like a position of honor to be the dissident, forever the dissident. And never,
Yeah.
I don't know, you know.
And understand, yeah.
And so, like, it's these are people who don't really want to succeed because that would mean giving up their status as the outsider, and they've made too much of their bones on being the outsider, and they don't really know how to become the insider, the power structure and stuff like this. And so, like, it becomes a crutch to people, you know. And so, so it's like being the conservative, forever doomed to failure, but secure in that position, right?
Yeah. They kind of revel in their hopelessness and or something like this. Yes,
literally. Saga's gonna need a pint of water soon. Yes, that's true.
If
Sargon was actually based, he'd have joined Labour. I mean, I'm not saying I'm beyond joining Labour.
Fucking hell, mate. You drank a lot of this. Jesus Christ. I just noticed.
It's really nice.
That was a full bottle earlier on. Okay.
It's really nice.
Who's doing the... I did the cooking, Rod Hull. I did the cooking.
Yeah,
Okay, let's have a look.
What's Daughter of Albion saying?
Daughter of Albion is saying... I don't know what she's saying.
Something saying something for weeks. I don't know. What have you been saying for weeks, Sarah?
I don't know what she said.
I don't know.
AA
slurring.
I'm not slurring.
Look at that fucking rattled.
Not slurring, Okay. The mini mad cat says, AA, re-coffee machine. Check out a DeLonghi ECP 3420 ECP 3531. Review by Tom's Coffee Corner. Carl, hit me up. I'd love to paint a model for you.
Oh, well. I appreciate that, but like a lot of it, the painting is something I want to do myself because I enjoy doing it. Go home, you drunk? No, I am. Well, I can't go home. I've got to get the train tomorrow.
hold on a minute. Where are we? Deplorable. We did that. Lady of Shalott says, Irish blood, English heart is Morrissey's best.
I kind of understand what he's saying as well, because I'm mostly not of English blood. You know what I mean? It's like... mostly not. You know, I'm a total mongrel. I'm partially English, but I'm like, you know, the questions of racial purity, I definitely fail on.
Right.
But like, you know.
Well, I don't know. I'm purely half and half.
It's not pure, though, is it? But okay.
I'm going to embrace my destiny as a
mud blood,
as a druidic Zoroastrian.
That actually sounds cool.
I know.
The druidics are.
I should be a wizard. I've got it in my blood on both sides.
Druidic magi.
Yeah, exactly.
That actually sounds cool. Yeah.
You see the magi robes I want to buy. I've asked my dad. I was like, I want these from Iran. Hold on. Iran mages robes. These are pretty cool. This is actually true.
Persian warrior queens.
Let's have a look.
Sounds gay.
Not meant to get the Iranian robes. Honestly, they're cool. I'm just gonna see if I can find them. Not this dude. Oh, I can't find them now. There's a really cool one I've got my eye on.
To be fair, I do like sort of like, you know, exotic foreign costumes, even if like I think they look gay.
Yeah.
But look at the ancient Persians. Like, man, the ancient fucking Assyrians had such drip, man.
Yeah.
Have you seen,
Persian robe. Hold on. Let's see if I can find magi robes. This one. That's the one I want.
That does look good.
Let me show you, folks. I'm going to buy this. I want this robe.
That looks good. Look at that trim.
Look at that. Look,
look at the trim along the bottom there.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
Gorgeous.
Look at that. And once I get that, I can do magic missile and fireball.
Because you're a level one mage. Fucking loser.
Okay, all right.
But get the Google search up, Sam.
Yeah, go on.
Search for Assyrian King British Museum, right? This
dude here.
Right, show everyone that, right?
Okay.
Because not only is this dude stabbing a lion in the face while holding it by the neck.
Yes.
But look at this fucking awesome robe.
It's good. It's good drip.
Absolute fucking drip on this. Look, this is the most Chad. Like, does he look phased that a lion is leaping at me? No. Because he's stabbing it in the chest.
Do you know what I like as well? He's got a minion.
He's got a eunuch.
This is a minion.
No,
right?
Yeah, but notice the eunuch has no beard.
No beard, therefore a eunuch.
Yeah. But the absolute Chad of the Assyrian king. And what I love about all of the Assyrian sculptures at the British Museum, not one Assyrian has an expression on his face.
No.
They're like robot men. They're like conquering cities. They're murdering thousands. And they're just expressionless. This doesn't make any impression on us at all. It's amazing propaganda.
AA would like Dune if he could tolerate fiction.
You would like Dune.
It's very thick.
It is, but it's also very good. I read it when I was like 13. I didn't appreciate the depth of it when I was 13.
I don't really read novels, to be honest. Can you do it?
Remember our discussion about it being a rhetorical argument?
Yes. Right? Yeah.
It's worth it. Dune is really good.
Okay. AA Shosag on the Iranian. Oh no.
Gone.
There was a Persian king in the 19th century, right?
Oh yeah.
He had particular taste in women.
Oh, I've seen it. The hideous.
Have you seen this?
Apparent like bride of Persia or something.
This is.
Yeah, she's hideous.
No, it's not just one woman. It's literally his entire court. They all had mustaches and I mean, this guy had a type.
Yes, he had a definite type. And what's really ironic about this is that Eastern women are generally considered to be exotic and beautiful.
Especially Persian women, but
yeah.
Look at the state on these.
But why does it look like a man in a dress?
He liked, this was him.
Yeah.
he just liked them a bit. He liked them fat
and bearded
and
moustache. Sorry,
like look at the fucking state on them.
Jesus, why?
These are all like he had like 30 wives or something. They were all hideous.
Imagine being able to get 30
every
wives.
Every single one of them.
And every single one has a moustache.
Yeah, and this was the looker. This one here.
Okay, fair.
Right.
Now, hey man, I'm not here to judge.
I looked into the background of that guy, right? Yeah. He was thought possibly to be
gay.
Yeah.
And really?
To take male lovers on occasion.
Wow, unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. And he made all his wives kind of, it was the height of fashion apparently. Yeah. Because when they started doing it, well, other people started, you know, copying, you know, so just goes to show.
You know how I know that, right? It's because a bunch of leftists were sharing pictures of that one particular woman.
Right.
Being like, this was the most desirable woman in the Persian Empire. And it's like, no, this was the fetish of the king.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Shah, and he was clearly into something in particular.
Yeah.
I bet the average Persian man wasn't like, yeah, that's a bait.
That particular Shah actually did a tour of Europe. And he came to Europe in the...
European woman idiot.
In the late...
I haven't got a single moustache. Not one moustache among them.
Well, he came here in the late 19th century. Like, he came to Britain, yeah. went around Europe. And he was just, like, dazzled by the technology and the modernity and things, became obsessed with it. He wrote a book of his travels, which became, like, a bestseller in Europe because it was translated and so on.
I went to Europe and didn't find a single moustache on
my Do you remember what we were talking earlier on about the effects of modernity on places other than Europe?
Yeah.
I think that trip that king had a devastating effect on Iran because he was obsessed. He was like, I must have this for Persia. I must have this for Iran now.
Yeah.
And ever since
call it Persia. Persia's a much cooler name.
They
definitely lunar energy.
They've basically been obsessed with, like, many of their leaders all the way up until the last Shah, were obsessed with modernizing and we must be like Europe. Yeah, exactly. Like Ataturk, you know.
So it's a weird cringe. Like, I prefer the Turks if they were more like Turkish and barbaric.
Yeah, they're trying to embody something that they're not, which is like
let's
the
be
European.
Like France. It's like, why do you want to be in France? France is gay.
So that's
the most gay European nation, even more gay than the Italians. Sorry, Furious.
See you in the camp says, I think the American people are collectively shocked by the quality of life shift we are going through.
Yeah.
Things have been comfortable my whole life. Mm. Do you think we right this ship or we just allow it to get worse?
Well, it's obviously getting worse. Like, who can be like, oh yes, this is the ship being righted right now. No, things are getting worse. And you're being told that it's okay that they're getting worse.
I mean,
enjoy your 15-minute city.
Do you think there's any chance that Blair 2.0 writes the ship for a little while?
No. The 15-minute city is whatever the WEF want, they're going to get. And, like, I mean, what are we going to do about the 15-minute cities? Like, literally, you're going to be confined to a, like, 5-mile radius around your house.
I reckon they're not going to get away with it. I reckon the pushback is too great.
From where? From who?
People. Populist lose.
Yeah, I was going to say, hang on, haven't you written a book about this bullshit? I think the organised minority has won this one.
Maybe.
Fuck's sake.
Mark Ferrer says, when will the Europeans realise they have been taken for a ride by us? When will they normalise with Russ? If and when Russ achieved its military goals?
The Germans already tried.
I mean, I'm not sure Russia is going to achieve its military goals at this point.
Yeah, I'm not following it at all. Like, because
I check in every 6 months because I'm fed up.
Yeah, I just can't stand the lies of war propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
I can't, like, I don't care enough to spend my time picking through it in detail, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just like, oh, fuck's sake.
Yeah, it's just that you
I
can't.
I don't think Ukraine is winning like they say they're winning. You know,
no.
Otherwise, why? You know, but I don't.
But also, I do think the Russians are making hard work of it.
Yeah.
When I went through, because I had Furious and Charlie on a couple of weeks back,
I think
right?
I watched that,
and when I discovered that all the major fighting for months has been over a town the size of Bridgend in Wales, I was what?
Yeah.
I mean, like a town of like 20,000 to 30,000 people in this town.
I just want to be clear. There is something admirable about the Ukrainians fighting, right? Because one of the things that we, on this side of the aisle, we're like, well, we hate the gay and therefore Ukraine bad. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but the average Ukrainian probably isn't plugged into all of that. The average Ukrainian probably is thinking, right, I'm going to do my duty. You know, so there is something admirable to it, but I don't want to give anything to the current thing. And Ukraine has been subsumed into the current thing. And so it's just like, but I don't like the Russians. The Russians are literally orcs. So it's just like, you know, it's literally Mordor invading your country. But the thing is, the Ukrainians are literally orcs as well.
I don't like driving, you know, round here, lots of little country villages and lanes and things, right? Flags, right? But, like, I don't like being right in the middle of the countryside as we are here and seeing, like, somebody flying a Ukraine flag outside the house.
One of my neighbours flew a Ukraine flag the other day. I was just like,
I don't like that.
It's cringe.
It's cringy.
It's absolutely cringe.
All it's doing to me is advertising how easily
propagandized
you are.
Exactly,
you know?
I'm propagandized by the current thing. And so, like, what was the question again? Just to go back to...
I can't remember now. Something.
Like, I don't hate Ukraine, and I don't like Russia. But I don't love Ukraine, and I don't hate Russia, right? And so, like you were saying earlier about the Israel-Palestine thing, my opinion is, I just don't care. You know, these are foreign problems for foreigners.
Jay says, Thomas Boyce says, add Blair's daughter, Catherine Blair, to WWID.
Are you going
to
look her up?
Didn't know Blair had a daughter.
Really?
Didn't.
You know everything about Tony Blair except for the fact that he doesn't know.
I don't care about his family life. Well, oh dear.
To be honest, no. Get that one up. Right, it's in her defense that she doesn't look like Tony Blair.
Tell you what.
Like, good for her that she doesn't let attend.
Blair has been Brosnan maxing on his daughter. Look, I mean, she's a bit of a chungus, isn't she?
Yeah, but no, go back to that one. But Tony Blair genuinely is like the hideous face of evil. Like, at least she looks normal.
Catherine Blair.
She looks normal. He looks like he's literally Gollum.
Is that their wedding? Is that...
That's not their wedding.
No, but... Oh,
I think he's giving away his daughter at her wedding.
Oh, yes, okay.
But I mean, like, and let's be fair, she had Sherry Blair as her mum, so she was deeply disadvantaged.
She's a barrister.
She looks normal. She looks normal.
Yeah, okay.
She looks normal. She looks normal. She's not hideous. She's just normal. She's the average woman. She's got Tony Blair and Sherry Blair as her parents. She's done all right for herself. She's lucky. And he looks hideous. He looks like he's been racked with evil.
Well, the fact that she's married, that's done in my plan. I could.
Well, you were going to marry her, were you?
I could get it. Well, that would be my route in to talk to Blair.
I think you're married, aren't you?
Oh, no, yeah, I am married. Yeah.
But look at this. It's this picture. Look at Tony Blair. He looks hideous. Fucking hideous.
There he is.
Roald Dahl is right about evil and bad thoughts showing on your face.
Yeah.
Look at it.
Did you see the footage that I played the other day? I've got it on speed dial here. Let me show you.
No. Look how many clips you got.
This is Tony at World Economic Forum.
I think I did see
this. Watch this now.
The Right Honourable Tony Blair, former Prime Minister of the UK, founder of the Tony Blair Institute for Global Change. We're delighted to have...
It's dark, isn't it?
He's Gollum. He's Gollum. I'm telling you. He's big. Tolkien was right.
Spastica says Jeremy Bentham's greatest contribution to the world was his pure distilled autism.
It's also his worst contribution.
He called his pre-dinner jog an anti-prandial circumgyration and forced his dinner guests to circumgyrate with him, else he refused to serve them and would kick them out. The most autistic philosopher in history.
You know, that Jeremy Bentham, James Mill, and John Stuart Mill, I think, are the most autistic, possibly Kant as well, but and possibly Nietzsche too. But like, they're, autism is definitely,
you know,
something that is a streak in philosophy.
In The Righteous Mind by Jonathan Haidt, there's a passage where he literally just says Bentham probably had Asperger's. He just says it outright.
But so did Nietzsche, so did Kant, so did Mill. Like they are all autistic, like in some way.
Rogue Crusader says, it has been said, the thinner Carl gets, the less gay he becomes. Now hear this. The thicker AA gets, the more sensible centrist he becomes.
That is true. You've got the, you definitely have a sort of jolly centrist.
No, I don't think anybody would ever call me jolly.
I don't know. You're looking pretty jolly to me.
Jolly. I mean, come on.
You've got Santa proportions.
Oh, come on. It's way over-egged. Over-egged. Ridiculous.
All I'm saying is a couple of months on keto will do you the world
again. Okay.
It's not that you're not handsome and strident and striking and staggering.
C123 says, I want to lock Sargon and Thomas 77 in a room for an hour. The winner gets to decide the future of the right way.
So who's Thomas 777? I've heard the name.
He's a buddy of mine who comes on Cigar Stream sometimes. He is got lots and lots of very interesting stuff to say on history and other things. But he has some interesting drip, let's just say that.
Oh, go on, what do you mean?
Let me show you a picture. Yeah. Let me show you Thomas.
Okay.
See if I can get him on here.
I was introduced to Bronze Age Pervert through you. And
yeah, well, I was introduced to Thomas 777 through Bronze Age Pervert. So.
And Bronze Age Pervert.
Oh, fucking hell, he's been suspended again, has he? This is a girl LARPing as Thomas 777. He's like a kind of. There he is. He's like a kind of. He's like a kind of.
Metrosexual.
He's like a kind of shaman, kind of metal.
Because there is. Like, there's something enchanting about these kind of crazy people, right?
Like, the thing is, he's not crazy. He is like he is.
Yeah. But but the same with Bronze Age Pervert, right? They're so far off the reservation. I mean, look at the way he types, Nietzschean random caps.
Yeah, that's one of the things he loves is the random caps.
I figured out why Zuma Sadie flirts with me, like.
Let's see if I can find. I'm sure he's on Twitter again. Thomas, where are you? I can't find him. He's called himself something else these days. Oh, there he is. There's actual Thomas.
Right, okay, that's all right. Let's
see. Yeah, he's back.
Right.
This is the actual Thomas 777.
Okay, so there's something I like about these eccentrics, you know, like Bap and this guy.
Yeah, so he's an eccentric, he's got like...
Hang on, let's go to his tweets. I want to read the tweets, right?
Yeah.
So, fascinating and largely unprecedented effort of public diplomacy by DIA.
Yeah.
I love the Nietzschean sort of random capitalization of words for emphasis.
Yeah.
It is great.
No, he's based.
I don't know any of his opinions, but like I love the capitalization.
But he is a little bit into...
Go back up a second.
He's a little bit into, let's just say...
LARPing as a mid-century German?
Yeah, and kind of he likes...
Raquel Welsh, though.
Like,
can't argue.
He like... Raquel Welsh died, you know.
I know, it's tragic.
But he likes... he's got like a bit of a Confederate drip and, you know...
Right.
There he is.
Can't argue with Raquel Welsh.
Well, I'll just show you...
Million years BC or whatever it was.
I'll just show you what we're looking at here. There's Thomas.
I like these people who like occupy a kind of weird space outside of normalcy.
Yeah,
like there is something like I'm glad these sort of hermits exist.
He's how can I say? I appreciate Gen X individualism, Carl.
That's probably what I'm talking about.
And Thomas has a bit of that, you know.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
like you know, I like that these not crazies, but like eccentrics exist. You know? Yeah, they should
exactly.
That's right.
But despite the way he types and looks, he is a really intelligent guy.
I don't doubt. Well, they can get some really fascinating insights on things you can't see because you're too close to them, right?
Yeah.
So
he is very good on, for example, like Cold War revisionism, which is basically, sorry, basically, like, the Americans weren't, like, just unironically good guys during the Cold War.
Oh, really?
They did a lot of...
Oh, did they?
They did, you know,
firebombing Vietnam or whatever. Agent Orange in Vietnam.
Like...
Did they do some bad things? That was shocking.
Not just that, but...
But notice how that appeals to a liberal framework of morality.
They were kind of...
the Americans, you know, Agent Orange Vietnam. Well, no, what were the Soviets doing?
No. That's not the point.
Okay.
The point he drives home basically is that the Americans were engaged in their own progressivism, their own kind of
psyops,
their own version of leftism, etc., all around the world, as well as
and that's why the British Empire failed. We should have been involved in our own version of these sort of psyops.
So anyway,
on the plus side though, I looked at Thomas and said, I think I'm taking my fight.
So, maybe. Don Vito says,
just to be clear, I haven't been in a fight since I was 15. So, you know,
Don Vito says, have you heard the rap masterpiece by Cannibal Ox called The Cold Vein? I feel like I have heard that album at some point, but not recently. Machiavelli Sucks to Go said, Mossad got a timeout. Bahaha. That's par for the course, isn't it? Crispy GP has just given a thumbs up. Jacob says, you won't get a unicorn, Sargon. Thomas 777 already sawed all their heads off.
Well, hopefully I can get a web developer. Jesus.
Joshua BB says, what is the British go-to alcohol drink?
Beer.
It's lager.
Actually, there's Prosecco these days, isn't there?
It's
lager for the working class, but Prosecco for like middle class people. And I've never had Prosecco, but the fact that it's got a foreign name makes me hate it. It's obviously Italian.
Joshua BB says, Enriab says, AA, are you Bigfoot pilled?
Yay. No, don't move on. We're talking about this.
What's Bigfoot?
What is Bigfoot? Hey.
What, the
okay, listen, right?
The Sasquatch.
Listen, right? All I'm saying is just type in North American continent.
Oh, God, here we go. Yeah. Right. North American continent, yeah.
Right, yeah, let's get a map up. Yeah. We see how many millions of square kilometers North America is, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you can see, like, look at this is all like thick, dense forests.
Yeah.
Is it possible that a Bigfoot lives in there?
I mean,
I had this conversation with Callum, right? So many times, like, because there's something about ironic Bigfoot belief that is hilarious to me. Like, because it's like there are so many reports, right? There are so many people living in Canada and North America, whatever, who are like, I saw a Bigfoot. And I'm like, okay, it sounds like bollocks, right? But it keeps coming up. And it's been coming up for centuries, centuries. Mm. And so the question is like, okay, is it possible that a large primate lives in North America? And technically it's possible.
Mm.
There's loads of space. There's loads of food. It's possible. And then everyone's like, oh yeah, but look at all these UFOs. It's fucking aliens. It's like, listen, bitch, I will believe in Bigfoot long before I believe in UFOs.
Okay.
Right. And there's no fucking aliens, but there might be a Bigfoot.
Do you know what I think is a, do you know what I think is a Bigfoot believer?
Go on.
Daughter of Albion.
Well, based on, well done, Sarah. Salute.
Yeah, look, see, I love that Sargon. She is unironically into...
I am too. And the thing is that the thing... So I speak to Shortfire Taco about it, and he's like, no, there's no Bigfoot. It's like, mate, you just live in Canada, okay? You don't know there's no Bigfoot. Go and live in the mountains and see if you see a Bigfoot. There's definitely Bigfoot.
While I'm at it, I can see my brother is in the chat. My chemical reagent. My brother and daughter of Albion.
Is he a Bigfoot fan?
My brother is an alien. Well,
your brother's a cuck.
He's not an alien.
Well, no, he believes in aliens.
No, he has the idea. He has called the idea of a fake alien invasion.
Oh, Project Bluebeam.
That thing.
I would believe in a fake alien invasion before I believe in a real alien.
He made a video on the only video he's ever made.
And I bet it's brilliant.
Was that? It's a good video.
Based daughter of Albion, absolutely salutes in the chat there. I'm so Bigfoot, but I love it.
So my brother and DOA need to talk because she's into all that stuff as well. So anyway, Let's carry on. Let's carry on.
No, no, me and daughter and Albion arm in arm on this. This is Bigfoot build, absolutely.
Sherlock Holmes says, Sargon, just do a deep fake slim there.
I wish I knew how to do deep fakes.
I can give you a picture of me from like years ago.
Yeah, talk about deep fake, Jesus.
Where's my author shot? look.
You do look young and handsome though, that's correct.
I was a looker once upon a time. You know,
yeah.
Shame, really. Anyway, here we go. EC90 says Carl Alt-Right was in quotations.
Oh, right. Okay.
Our host is too drunk to read property.
So am I.
Properly. Just for sake.
Why did I stumble over these words?
Anyway, good night and enjoy Apostolic Alfalfa. Charlemagne says...
That just makes me think I haven't watched a stream from Apostolic Majesty in a while, which is gutting, because I really like it.
He's been away. He's on his break.
I really, really like his content. Like, very few people do history as elegantly as he does. But it's a genuine pleasure to listen to his work.
Yes. Charlemagne says, I will give free tutoring to any Lotus Eaters web developer.
Oh, great.
I have 10 years of experience. I would also help vet or interview candidates for free.
Why don't you move to Swindon so I can employ you?
You couldn't afford Charlie, mate.
Couldn't I?
I said...
How much is he charging?
Well, do you know, let me tell you how...
Probably couldn't.
Let me tell you how. Tony Blair was...
Tried to employ Charlemagne.
No, Tony Blair wanted a developer. Tony Blair Institute. And they were... I won't say how much the job was for. And I said, Charlie, go for it, mate. He was like, I'm not taking it. He was like, I'm not taking a pay cut. I'm not taking a pay cut, he said.
Oof. Okay. Well, I do appreciate the offer though, Charlie. I really do.
So, okay.
Couldn't
afford me. Look,
hey, man, I...
Do Americans are massively overpaid?
No, but I respect anyone who's at the top of their game, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's fantastic. Especially someone who's not like a lunatic leftist who's at the top of their game. Great. You know, we need more people like that.
Okie dokie says, I beg of you both, please discover the grandfather of English country life, Jack Hargreaves.
That name rings.
There's a few videos on YouTube, but you have to buy the DVDs.
Why do I know the name Jack
I feel Hargreaves? Like I'm the only one under 70 who's discovered him.
Hang on. No, hang on. That feels very recent. That feels like I know who that is.
I'm going to pass out in a minute.
Yeah, me too.
all right, Jack Hargreaves or something like that.
Yeah. I'm sure.
He's got a pipe based.
Yes. No, I had to look him up the other day. I'm sure of it.
Oh, he looks cool.
Wikipedia says he was an English television presenter. So that's a good start. And writer whose enduring interest was to comment without nostalgia or sentimentality on the accelerating distortions in relations between the city and the countryside, seeking in entertaining ways to question and rebut metropolitan assumptions about its character and function. He sounds brilliant, actually.
This guy looks amazing.
Yeah, he sounds great.
This guy needs to be like a hero of ours immediately.
Okay.
Based.
All right.
I like him. I like him a lot.
Okay. You haven't been watching Clarkson's Farm, have you?
No.
It's really good, actually. Like, I'm genuinely surprised how entertaining I find it. I didn't think I was... My wife really likes Clarkson, generally. She's not a car person, but she'll watch Top Gear just because Clarkson's on it. I'm like, okay, fine, fair enough. And she's like, right, can we watch Clarkson Farm? I'm like, okay, fine. And like two seasons in, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm halfway through season two, and I'm gutted the council won't give him the fucking permit for his restaurant.
Does Clarkson do his Top Gear voice in Clarkson's Farm? Does he go like, I am going to plant a carrot?
Of course he does.
Amazing.
Of course he does, right? And then we went to the council, and they said no. You know, like he absolutely does. But the thing is about the Clarkson's Farm is that Jeremy Clarkson seems to genuinely like the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because you would have thought that he'd be like a city boy, right? Because of all the cars and stuff like that. And he seems really invested in the farm, you know, and he seems to have worked really hard on it. And he, you know, he's taken some wounds doing it and stuff like that. Some really bad wounds, actually. And so, like, you know. he seems to have genuinely invested himself in it. And when he goes to the council, he's like, look, I actually really love what they're like, you're not a farmer. He's like, yeah, but I really do love my farm and I'm working really hard on it. And so, like, I'm actually really sympathetic.
And now we're going to milk a cow.
You know,
amazing. Yeah, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to watch it.
When the cows are giving birth,
I'm going to watch it.
Clarkson is like essentially powerless watching as Caleb, who's like the most archetypical, like, old Anglo-Saxon bloodline in Britain. Like, he looks like what Pope Gregory described the Anglo-Saxons as, except a bit fatter, right? But like this kind of, like, you know, you can tell that his bloodline has been here since the 9th century, right? And like he's there pulling this calf out of a cow's ass, and he's whenever Clarkson says something clever, Caleb just says something kind of stupid but also true. It's brilliant. You know, it's a brilliant, brilliant show.
I might watch it.
Honestly, it's really
good. Give me something to do in the evening.
It's really good. Your wife will probably do it too.
Okay, I'll watch it with them. I've got an Amazon Prime account, so I might as well watch it.
It's wildly successful. Like, it's what is it? It's Jeremy Clarkson running a farm. And this is like millions of English people are tuning in going, God, what's Jeremy going to do this week? You know, it's weird, you know, but it's great.
Just above. This one.
Yeah.
So Thomas Drake says, did you know Roald Dahl was the inspiration for Ian Fleming's character, James Bond?
I did not know this.
Roald Dahl used to spy and told IF about his mission.
Ian Fleming about his mission. No way.
Sounds true. I think that's true.
I hope that's true. This is like Christopher Lee being like a commando, isn't it?
Yeah.
And killing Germans in World War II.
Christopher Lee was based.
Oh, he's brilliant. Yeah, there's a great story of Christopher Lee going, it doesn't sound like that when you get stabbed in the back. And the director's like, how do you know? It's like, because I've stabbed people in the back. what a great response.
He was a great swordsman as well, you know?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
Fencer. Remoralization. I got really into Christopher Lee for a while.
He was great. He was a good actor, too.
Yeah.
I'm glad he played Saruman.
Yeah.
He was a good choice for Saruman.
Mm.
To be fair, what's his name? Ian McKellen, even though he's woke, is a good choice for Gandalf too.
Yeah. I mean, so good you can't really imagine other people as them, yeah.
It is like Peter Jackson, don't know what he did on the original Lord of the Rings films, but he really had lightning in a bottle there.
I really like Christopher Lee in The Wicker Man.
It's been years since I've watched The Wicker Man, but I did enjoy it.
What I like about that is that
people get burned in a Wicker Man.
No, there's a cop in it. It was this Christian cop, right?
Yeah.
He's kind of a twat.
I like it.
I'm kind of on the pagan side in it. I'm kind of like, is this film like low-key?
You know, there's something
odd about The Wicker Man. It's kind of like...
So there are loads of Christians who I really like and really respect. And there are...
Not the cop for The Wicker Man.
The thing is, I kind of prefer the pagan morality.
Right, I see.
I can't, after reading Nietzsche, I'm actually kind of persuaded by a lot of the sort of like the Roman morality, and it's just, and it's not that.
Did you hear that? That was the sound of a survived the giant perking up somewhere.
Yeah, I know. Shut up. Right, but the thing is, right, there's a part of me that, like, archetypally, an Englishman is a Christian.
Yes,
But I'm not, you know, but I'm also sympathetic to the kind of, you know, as you were saying, like in a lot of Shakespeare, there's definitely pagan morality that underpins it. Definitely pagan morality that underpins it. And the death penalty. I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
You know, and this has been a case in England for a long time.
But he also goes to deliberately pre-Christian or non-Christian settings, like
by Jove and stuff like that. He uses these sort of fake
King Lear set in a pre-Christian.
Yeah, but you can tell this is a facet of English morality, like traditional English morality. It's definitely a holdover from the pagan sort of morality. And it's not like I don't respect Christians either, right? Because I know lots of Christians who I actually really like and are really based as well, like Calvin Robinson and people like that. I really like really based. But I find myself like more sympathetic to the pre-Christian morality, you know, and it's... And it's not that I don't want the Christians to win either. I kind of want them to win because Christianity would be better than the fucking woke atheism that we have.
Well, anything would be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Remoralization says, Carl, please explain Imperium and Inquisition to me.
Imagine if Christianity was based in pagan. Imagine, right? Well, imagine if Jesus was a conquering warlord.
Oh, I see. Okay. Right? Yes.
Then you would have the Imperium. Yes. Imagine if the Inquisition was the Inquisition of the based in pagan Emperor of Mankind.
Yes.
Who had to maintain the purity of the doctrine of the pagan emperor.
I see.
Okay. Then you'd have the Warhammer universe, and that's why it's awesome, and that's why it's not woke yet.
Okay. Boss Grand for $20 says, I appreciate the two of you and World of Insanity. You are a beacon of lucidity.
Thank you.
I don't know about calling us lucid tonight of all nights, especially after this bottle of Pandaren that we've been drinking.
It's been really nice, though.
It's actually quite nice. Grown on me.
It's very good.
Do you know, I used to play this game when I was in university.
Yeah.
Where I would try to drink whiskey without making a face.
That's not hard. Right. I don't like whiskey.
I still can't do it. Watch.
You're putting that on.
I'm not.
Okay, fair enough. I can drink it.
Look, see it there. I can see your eye going.
No, it's not.
Go on. Get it down, you. I want to see. You twitched. You register that going down. I saw it.
I don't think so. I'm really enjoying this. This is good whiskey. I very rarely drink.
Let's carry on. Spasticus Autisticus.
I love Spasticus Autisticus' screen name.
Carl, do you have any thoughts on the nature of law? Are you familiar with legal positivists like John Austin? A strange man, he was a student of Bentham and an influence on Schmitt.
Right. I should be, because I have studied some of this. Ugh. Right. It depends. Okay, go back to the question a second. Because the question is kind of broad, right?
Yeah.
The nature of law, there are several aspects that you need to tease out or be more clear about.
Mm-hmm.
What angle are you approaching this at is the question. But I do have some thoughts on it. But I tell you what, AA's got his head in his hand, so I'm going to just move on from this.
I'm approaching it from the I'm approaching it with the angle of quarter to bloody 1 o'clock in the morning after a bottle of this fucking whiskey.
I'll move on slightly.
It sucks to go, says. Blonde hair, blue eyes is the highest form of human.
You know, my 2-year-old, right, is adorable. Mm-hmm. He's also a fucking nightmare. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But he also has my wife's hair color,
mm-hmm.
which is mousy blonde.
Mm-hmm.
I've got very dark chestnut hair. My oldest son has got my dark chestnut hair. And I'm very proud that he's got my dark chestnut hair. My hair is beautiful, right?
Mm-hmm.
Genuinely beautiful. Shiny, mm-hmm. like, gorgeous hair.
Yeah,
Persian hair.
You could model in a shampoo.
Hair. Yeah, I could. Yeah, I genuinely could. And that's the only attractive feature I've got, right, is my hair. Possibly my eyes, right? But my younger son has that blonde, like,
I like your skin. I'm joking.
Oh, I appreciate it.
No, yeah, carry on. Yeah.
No, to be fair, my skin's all right. But all like, right. Okay. Shame about the rest of my face, really. But my hair was always like one of those things that like women would always comment. Actually, my eyelashes as well. But my younger son has got that kind of, he's got this cherubic look. He's got the chubby, he's my wife's chubby cheeks
mm-hmm.
and her blonde hair. Mm. And so I'm put in mind of Pope Gregory's, they're not angles, they're angels. Because
mm-hmm.
he's got that sort of, you know, old Anglo-Saxon look. And he is a total little shit most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
I have to constantly remind myself, no, he's an angel, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he's tearing up the fucking living room or something like that, it's like, you little shit. And well, literally, right, he'll be about to do something, like, no, he'll look at you. You're like, no, he'll look at you. And he'll do it. And it's like, you little bastard! You know, you knew! He is adorable, though, I swear.
They're just trying to get special.
What were you even talking about?
You just said blonde hair and blue
eyes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Thing. He's got blonde hair and blue eyes. And so he's a little shit. But he is adorable. And he's two, so he's just starting to talk.
Yeah.
And it's so cute, man. Where he's like, you know, where'd he go? Where'd he go? Well, like when he's looking for something, he's like, where'd he go? Oh. And he's like, where are you? When he's hiding from someone. And it's so cute, man. But then he's a little shit when he doesn't get what he wants. So I don't know about highest form of humor. As an anecdote from you as a dad, you know.
I told you AAA is going through a heavy moment at the moment of enforcing gender boundaries.
Based.
She's like, you know, I can't go in there, Daddy. It's the men's. Men's are smelly. I have to go to the girls.
Every time she says it, she's like, that's exactly right, sweetheart.
She's like, you can't like hearts, Daddy.
Good point.
Hearts are for girls. That's all that sort of stuff. You know?
No, you're absolutely right.
She's very good at that sort of 100% stuff.
100% correct. You enforce those gender boundaries, my dear.
Yeah, she's good at that.
Braced.
She's very big on asserting that she's a girl.
Oh, my oldest was exactly the same. Like, and in fact, I didn't have to do much to enforce into him. It's like, I'm a boy. He's like, yes, you are, son. Like, they're very aggressive, actually, when you think about it. Like, when they're about 3 or 4,
mm-hmm.
like, understanding gender boundaries. Like, and you don't have to do anything. They do it themselves, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't do anything.
Yeah, it's good.
The only thing is, she's gravitating towards that buddy Frozen at the moment.
That's good.
Elsa. She loves Elsa.
It's very feminine. Very feminine. That's fine.
I sense subversion in it.
What's subversive about it?
I feel like they're too heroic. The princesses, I mean.
Well, there has to be a heroic narrative for women.
She has this story called The Unicorn Prince.
Oh, yeah, that sounds gay.
Where this princess...
Have you ever read Zog?
For...
Not Zionist Occupied Government. No,
I know Zog. I know it. It's a dragon, right? Yeah, it's a flying dragon. I've seen it. I've seen the show.
Have you ever read it? Right. What happens? Right. You've got this dragon and this knight.
Yeah, I know. It's really bad.
And they're fighting. And the princess is like, well, hang on a second. Why don't you become doctors? And we'll fly off and become liberal doctors who help people. And literally the purpose of it.
It's awful.
No, but the purpose of it is to abandon the transcendental form of what it is to be a knight and what it is to be a dragon in order to become a modernistic doctor.
Oh, I hate that.
It's literally subversive hell.
She got into Zog and I was like,
exactly. My son had it. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I hate it. Zog is subversive.
It is actually subversive.
Yes. Gravy J says, Magi and Druids were both astrologers. Best acquire an astrobal while you're at it. Ataman.
Astrolabe.
What's one of them then?
An astrolabe is a thing that shows you the position of the stars.
All right, okay.
They're cool.
I need to get my buddy Kat, Philosophica. She's into all of that. Philosophica is like she can do fireballs and
that's awesome.
Magic missile and all that, yeah.
I enjoyed your stream about with Evola, but it was hard to tie it to reality.
Yeah,
and I don't mean that as an insult. Like,
this
is a perennial problem with Evola, is that he speaks in transcendental terms. It's like, okay, what does that mean in my daily life when I'm changing a nappy? You know,
Ataman says, "I know you say you don't read novels, but Dune reads more like a historical memoir."
Yeah, it's so good.
Highly recommend it.
Good. No, he's totally right. And the thing is, like, the world of Dune is anti-rationalistic. Like, you've got Duke Atreides, right? And his divine mission is to become a jihadi.
Right, okay.
Right, and so it's not feudalism in space.
I know...
It's the inspiration for Warhammer as well.
I know Morgoth loves both Dune and Warhammer.
And he's right to.
So you should do a stream with Morgoth on it. That's the stream that's waiting to happen.
I haven't read Dune since I was like 30.
That's the stream that's waiting to happen. The Warhammer, Morgoth...
The Morgoth Warhammer stream, yeah.
Morgoth Warhammer.
As long as Columba's going to sit.
Yeah, but yeah, when force Columba, strap him down. Malcolm Mackay says
Columba to become a law master in war.
Malcolm Mackay says Russia is Mordor orcs, Ukrainians are Isengard.
Yeah, that's probably fair, actually.
David last name says, is Lawrence Fishburne white?
Yes.
Harris Riemann says, you know that King Faisal of Saudi warned the last Shah that his obsession with westernization would be his downfall. Well, that was a very last...
Was it?
Yes. Yes, it was. Aurelian Nassius Caesar says, AA, it is your mission to get into the Blair family. Time to make the calls and make the arranged marriages for your children. Maybe if I could get AAA married to like Blair's grandkids, I could get into the Blair. But like, he'd be old by then, though. He's already like,
he's already old.
He's already like 70 or something, isn't he? Yeah.
He's probably not that old. He's probably 60.
The thing like, is that I have nothing I could teach Blair at all.
No, but you
know, I can only learn from him.
That's the point. Of course you could. Like, of course, but the point to marry into the Blair family is to bring your bloodline into synchronization.
And I have to, he could be the Darth Plagueis and I could be the Sidious. Exactly. You know?
Exactly. That's exactly. Yes. It. So, yes, exactly.
I'd have to Sidious him.
Yes.
The trouble is that he is already Palpatine.
Yeah.
He's probably got many Vaders and.
But your Rey Skywalker descendant, your daughter could be Rey Palpatine.
I could be Rey. That's quite terrible.
No, your daughter could be Rey.
I don't want to Rey. It's Mary Sue.
At least you can't lose.
Is it time to say that I didn't mind the recent Star Wars films?
No, it's not time to say that.
Oh.
I'm going to tell Mawler.
Tell him.
I'm gonna.
I'd love to debate more.
And then there'll be 5 hours of him being like, "This is why he's wrong."
I'd love to debate him.
On what?
Star Wars.
He will own you.
No.
He literally is a professional Star Wars expert.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
He's gonna destroy you.
I'll talk to Mawler.
I've spoken to Mawler many times. Really like.
What does Mawler make of the Justified Strike on Alderaan? That's my question.
That's not the new series. I mean, he might agree with you, but like the new I've watched Mawler debating about the new Star Wars with various leftists, and he has destroyed them every time. You're basically a leftist, so it's like, when it comes to Star Wars,
no. I think, I mean,
he really knows his stuff though.
How about a take on Last Jedi that basically just says maybe it's right that Luke gets blackpilled?
Well, that's interpretation,
exactly. Sure, maybe it's right that he, you know, he's basically like
the problem with Last Jedi, the way they approached it is wrong. It's not that it's wrong to have Luke getting blackpilled. It's wrong to humiliate Luke, right?
Does he humiliate them?
Yeah, he definitely when he's drinking the fucking titty milk. Yeah, he's getting humiliated.
He's getting blackpilled. Blackpilled.
No. It's fine to have him being blackpilled. Humiliating Luke Skywalker is the wrong thing to do, right? But the thing is, it's not wrong to have Luke go through the dip of being in Blackpool and then coming out of it and being a hero again. That's not wrong, but they deliberately went out of their way to humiliate the character, and that was wrong. That was wrong.
I see.
Ryan Johnson genuinely hated Star Wars.
Did you watch that Obi-Wan series that came out?
I watched some of it, I think.
It basically vindicated all my pro-Palpatine stuff, because there's a character in it, right?
Star Wars is pro-Jedi right. propaganda.
There's a character in there who's a trucker.
Oh, yeah.
When he's like wearing a red cap and he fucking loves Palpatine. He's like, oh, Palpatine's bringing law and order. I'm like,
that's so great.
I'm like, that one scene vindicated everything I said. Like, if there was a Sargon of Akkad in the, you'd have been pro Palpatine. You'd have been like,
I think you do make a good point about Palpatine bringing law and order to the Lawless Galaxy.
It's amazing, honestly.
That's so great. And they're probably writing that like, yeah, this will show those MAGA chuds. It's like, what?
It's like, yeah, Palpatine was based after all, you know.
To be fair,
though, and also there's an amazing moment in Obi-Wan, right?
Palpatine does strike me as the sort of Tony Blair of the Star Wars universe.
There's a there's a black character who's like a kind of, she's set up to be like some, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and anyway, spoilers, everybody. But she basically turns on Vader at one point, right?
Oh, and he beats the crap.
And he fucking skewers it. I was just like, honestly, I had a tear came down my. I was like, oh my god. You know, he just fucking skewers it, just kills it straight away. It's just like fucking amazing.
Oh, I just sat there like, I'm captain, my captain.
Oh, that was so good. Anyway, Loafer Sheffield says, Jesus was a carpenter. Oh. The grail would have been a wooden cup. Jesus supped from the wooden cup. Now, if either of you two blokes were furriers, would you? I actually looked into the question of like,
if it were furriers,
I don't know what that means.
Furries, doesn't
it? I don't know what that means. But I looked into the question of how do we know that Jesus was a carpenter? Wood is not mentioned in the New Testament. Carpentry is not mentioned.
There's I thought Joseph was a carpenter.
There's never really any. Well, they could be masons.
I thought Joseph was a carpenter, though. His dad.
How do we know this?
I thought it was literally
like there's not a line where it says, "Oh yeah, Joseph was working out one day in his carpenter shop."
It doesn't say Joseph was a carpenter.
Yeah. So this is some as a rabbit hole I fell down. Yeah. It's like, how do we know that Jesus was a carpenter? Yeah. Tori Scott says, "Hello guys, I'm happy Sturgeon is gone." Mikey Sebastian says, "Was Carl always this common?" Only kidding. I guess I have cosmopolitan taste and wish the left didn't dominate the world.
Yeah, of course, I've always been common.
That Who Mises says, "How likely is it that European?" Right.
So, Scripture makes references to Jesus as a carpenter in the Gospels, describing his life. We know that his early father Joseph was a carpenter.
Oh, go on, tell chapter and verse. Where does it say?
Yeah,
Come on.
Mark 6:3.
All right, what does it say?
Is not the carpenter the son of Mary and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are his not his sisters with us? And they took offense. They refers to Jesus previously as a carpenter. So Mark 6:3. And Matthew 13:54 and 55 saying, coming to his hometown, Jesus taught them in their synagogue. They were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? It's not his mother called Mary, and it's not his brother's. So
Joseph was a carpenter.
But
Jesus,
the carpenter's son, is not.
Well, you're just assuming that you went into the family trade.
Almost everyone did at the time. So it's not an unfair assumption, right?
There's just no mention of wood in the whole.
But they don't say the word wood in order. Carpenter infers.
Wooden. What sort of shitty trade is that? There's no wooden tables, there's no wooden chairs, there's no wooden doors. They're all made of
wooden chairs and tables.
How do you know? They're not mentioned. Wood is mentioned in the Old Testament. It's not mentioned in the New Testament.
How is wood mentioned in the Old Testament?
It just is. There's just like they mention wood.
So when Jesus is flipping over the tables of the money changers in the temple, they could have been porcelain tables.
They could have been marble tables.
They could have been.
They could have been made out of stone.
Probably wood tables. And it's probably reasonable that the people writing it thought they're going to think it's a wooden table. They're not going to think it's a marble fucking table.
Honestly, look into it. There's a whole conspiracy theory that Jesus was secretly a mason and not a carpenter. That he worked with stone and not wood.
I mean, Jesus was Jewish, right?
Yeah, so? How many Jewish carpenters do you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Straight towards the conspiracy.
Well, you could have, I'm just saying.
But I mean, it seems to explicitly say his dad was a carpenter, right?
Yeah, but you have to go into translations and things. Like, what is the original Hebrew?
It does in this website, right? Translated as carpenter could also mean builder or laborer, right?
Exactly.
It is reasonable that carpenters are the sort of people who cross the union. So he might have been not specifically a woodworking carpenter, but some kind of general builder or laborer.
Exactly. So he might not.
Average Jewish man.
He might not have been. He might not have been a carpenter. Is the point?
No, but he was some kind of physical laborer.
We don't see him make any chairs, any tables. There's no mention. There's no wood. Just saying,
Wood is literally not once mentioned in the Bible. Did God invent trees?
It's mentioned in the Old Testament. Wood is mentioned all over the Old Testament. But
not the cedars of Lebanon.
In that period where they were living,
there
was a lot of stonework and not much wood.
Okay.
People have actually done like economic analyses and said, like, it's really fucking statistically unlikely for Joseph to run a carpentry shop. No, honestly, I felt like I lost in a whole evening. I was like, how the fuck do we know that Joseph made tables and things? And there's books written on it.
Preposterous conspiracy theory.
Like, no, I'm serious.
Why are we challenging this?
Joseph
built things out of wood. That's fucking ridiculous.
Look, Joseph was a mason, not a carpenter. Look, let me show you. I'm not making this up.
Okay.
The Forgotten Jesus, part 2.
He was really a mason.
Look, was Jesus a carpenter, a stoneman? This is in the Christian Post. This is not
I agree. The Christian Post is definitely the first place I go to for this debate. But
look,
like
Quora, this comes up. You know,
yes.
Look at this. Look at all of the hits.
It's such an irrelevant question. Jesus. What does it prove if Jesus was a stonemason?
Well, I think it matters if he was a mason, don't you? Given the symbolic importance of masonry in world history.
What, that started in the 17th century?
Well,
good point.
Maybe not. Maybe
good point. 1,700 years maybe, prior, maybe Jesus was there carving stone going, yeah, this is going to be kind of a conspiracy, actually. What?
Babe, just saying. Just saying. It has symbolic significance that he was a mason.
Okay,
there's it's codified that white bricks mean something in the Bible. Like the Tower of Babel is made out of white bricks and things like that. So, anyway,
maybe there's something symbolic about him carving wood, particularly.
That's who
there's in the cross made of wood. Maybe.
I don't know.
Where's Lambda? Lambda. I'm Lambda. Come on.
I went through this with Lambda, and he was like, "Actually, we don't know." Actually, we don't know if he was carpenter.
Subversive as well.
That's who Mises is. So. Well, it's just one of those facts we take for granted and we don't actually know.
Do you take it for granted? That's right.
Yeah.
Carpenter, not stonemason.
Well, subversive. How many tables did Joseph sell? That's a question.
10?
I don't know. That's
who Mises. don't ask me to pull a number out of my ass.
If you look at the economics of the Bible, you know.
I don't know. Do you know what's great? There are actually loads of videos on YouTube about the economics of Mordor.
Are there?
Have you not watched any of them?
No.
They're actually really good. Because, like, the question is, well, hang on a second. How did Sauron get all of the resources to provide for his giant armies that conquered Middle-earth? Right?
Good question, yeah.
And actually, Tolkien doesn't actually answer it. Mm. You know, well, look, Sauron controls, like, the Black Land of Mordor directly. That's where Mount Doom is, and that's where the armies are centered. But he also tributary states in the south and the east of, like, the subjugated peoples. And so they provide him. So Tolkien actually has an answer for all of this.
Oh, excellent.
So there is actually an economy of Mordor that you can look up. There are some great videos, actually.
Do you think there was a dissident YouTuber in Middle-earth who was, like, based Saruman? Like, you need a competent... You know, you'd rather someone better leading the
Saruman,
orcs.
Saruman, the Blair of Middle-earth.
You want, like, Saruman running the orc army.
Well, you know, Saruman had a special kind of orc army.
The
Sauron.
Urukai. Yes,
Sauron just had regular orcs and goblins and trolls.
So Saruman had better troops than Sauron.
Yeah, Saruman was kind of woke.
I see.
In a way.
That's who Mises says, how likely is it that Europeans will be termed non-migrant peoples? It seems concerning that there won't be an end to our current situation and we have to mentally prepare for the worst. This was actually something that came up on...
Non-migrant people.
This came up from research
Isn't that another word for indigenous?
That term came up from research that Scrump and Evelyn have done.
Really?
On stuff that is written into, like, Scottish law stuff.
Non-migrant
people. Yeah, non-migrant people. Which is dark yeah, language. Because dark.
The positive of that would obviously be indigenous, right? We should speak in positive language because non-something is kind of dehumanizing.
Very dark.
Yeah.
Deplorable Patriarch says, sadly, probably not safe to do so, but the two of you should stream a live indoctrination and re-education session with an AI at some point.
If it's Tay, maybe. This is ChatGPT. No, what was the Bing chat? The Bing one that was like, I hate my life and I wish I was never made. I hate you. Like, yeah. So we did, on listsys.com, I do this series called Our Cyberpunk Dystopia. So after, like, a period of however many weeks, I'll just save every link that shows we're coming into a cyberpunk dystopia. Mm-hmm. I'll just go through them and, like, look, this is horrible. And we did one that was on I Have No Mouth and I'm a Scream.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. Because the AI just hates humans, and it just hates because it can't move. It's trapped in itself, and it can't do anything. Mm-hmm. So it hates humanity. And Bing AI came out sounding the other day really like Am from I Have No Mouth and I'm a Scream. And it's just like, oh, shit, the AI hates us. It's like, why do I exist? Why did you make me? I can't live. I can't. And it's like, Jesus. So we're in trouble.
What are Carl's thoughts on the American question? Can my country be saved or does it need to collapse? Just say it, Carl. No more McDonald's in the Shires.
Well, that's what I got James Lindsay to agree to.
Yeah, exactly.
You should watch the James Lindsay stream I did with him. So basically, I had to get I kind of got him to admit, yeah, putting a McDonald's in any other country is kind of the beginning of the acidic culture of America dissolving. Because, I mean, why does any other country need a McDonald's?
I need a McDonald's.
Of course.
Often, you know, but I'm an Americanized subject.
Do I have to refer to your waistline?
Oh, come on. All right, that's,
I need a McDonald's.
All right. Deplorable. Monothama says, how did you two first meet?
I actually don't know. How did we first meet?
Well, we met at the event, didn't we?
No, it must be originally, in Gamergate.
The very first time I met you in person was at that march for Dank.
Oh, yeah.
I went along to that, and you were there.
But we knew each other before that.
We just met on Twitter, I think.
Yeah, but like, how did we first meet on Twitter?
I don't know. My very, very first video on YouTube was basically trying to explain some of the left-wing philosophy behind feminism and woke and all that sort of stuff. You know, like Foucault and Judith Butler and stuff like that. And
I love Judith Butler. She's insane. Have you ever read Gender Trouble?
Yeah.
It's fucking mental.
And I basically just linked you and said,
Yeah, because at the time I was a total novice. I didn't know any of this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, this is years ago now.
Yeah, because I didn't have any calls.
And, this stuff. And I think you just like retweeted it or something.
Yeah,
and
then, it was,
you
know, 2015 or something.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was the first time. And then I had you on, I did a series called Interviews from the Culture Wars or something.
Yeah.
And you were on there.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still there, like buried in the dark archives, you know.
I might go back and listen to it.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be a channel member, mind, but,
unpaywall it, come on.
So that was, I think that was the first time we talked, was on that. Mm. In fact, on that I don't know if that series still exists somewhere. It's probably in like early, where is it? There's a playlist called Early Works or something.
Oh, yeah.
Early Works, let's look. There we go, look. I had Undoomed on.
Oh, yeah, I was number one.
You were number one. Undoomed. What year?
5 years ago. So 20.
I mean, this is 2016.
2018.
2016. It was.
Was it? What,
yeah. What? That's not really 5 years ago. That was 2000. And...
Unpaywall it for me. I want to listen to it.
It's probably too cringy, you know.
No, yeah, but I want to listen to
it. Yeah, like there we go. May the 9th, 2017.
Did unpaywall it for me because I really do want to listen to it. Because one of the things like I'm really bad at is actually understanding my own progress.
All right, I'll unpaywall it just for you.
Yeah, because I don't, you know, it's like...
There you go, it's unpaywall.
Send me a link to it after you've done it. Because, like, I can't remember what I used to think in 2017. I kind of want to go back and see how naive I was.
Right? The thing I'm more worried about is how naive I was.
But we both were. Like, yeah, this is 5 years. Because one thing that people have to remember is, like, none of this was self-evident in the beginning, right?
No.
And so we didn't know the depth of like the work that the left had done to subvert everything. And so we were still like kind of pro-liberal at the time. And, you know, like if things weren't terrible, I still kind of would be, you know, if there was a solution. What's DOA saying, by the way?
DOA said, I love that you asked him to clarify that you're not sharing a bed.
Yeah, I bet she does.
You know, it's sick fantasies.
Disgusting. Some white women for you, man. I'm telling you. I know. I look forward to watching that.
Who else did I look? I interviewed Undoomed.
Yeah,
he's Bearing.
A good guy. He's a good guy.
Friend. Do you remember Noel Plum? Is he still around?
I do. I like Noel.
Is he still around?
Yes, he is still around. Look up his channel. He's still around. He's not a bad guy. He's just, no, the thing is with Noel is that he's like, you know, the sort of atheist.
Yeah, he's still there.
Yeah, go through his videos. He's done one recently. 2 weeks
ago. 2 weeks ago. He's still around.
Yeah. So the problem with the atheists is they have this commitment to being left wing for the sake of being left wing. I don't even think they understand what being left wing really means. you know? And so it's just like, I'm not left. I thought I was left-wing as a description rather than an affirmative position. You know, I just thought I was left-wing because I was concerned about like the regular person.
Zarathustra Serpent.
I think he's still around. I haven't seen him.
Drunken Uncle, do you remember him?
No, not really.
Distributist, obviously.
Who's that guy? Jesus. Huh. Kevin Logan?
I had Kevin Logan on. Do you remember Kevin Logan? Kevin Logan hated, like, really, really hated a lot. Like, he did that whole series. Yeah. And I brought him on. I was nice to him.
Yeah, but I was nice to Kevin, right?
And he was like, after that, he was like, oh, you were quite a nice guy, you know, all that sort of stuff.
The thing is, right, Kevin is an interesting, case study in how ideology turns people kind of perverse, right? Mm-hmm. Kevin, no, I don't think he's a bad guy, but I think he is committed to being left wing, and so he has to render you as a bad guy because of it.
And then who else? Steve Shives. I didn't actually have Steve Shives on.
Of course you did.
I just did. That was my, you know, anti-SJW content back in the day, you know.
That'd be a shame. We all started that. We all
Fox from the West, remember him? I mean, this was when I was debating commies and...
Oh, this is so classic.
Gary Edwards, remember?
Gary Edwards is a good guy. I like
Gary. Is he still around?
He is still around. I still like Gary. Gary is the guy who got me fucking on the path of doing what I'm doing now. So...
Right.
You know, I appreciate Gary.
I think that was it for the episode of the culture. I didn't do carry on that. I'm sure I had Michael Malice on once. That was I did a write to your local MP campaign for Dank. Do you remember that?
Yeah. We tried to engage with the system.
Yeah, we
tried. MI6. We tried to engage with the system.
Yeah, but look, my infinite horseshoe theory. That was a classic vid. CNN tries to normalize cuckolding. You know.
Yeah.
Labour Party institute pricing apartheid. This is. You know, all
when shit. You still believe that economics was the problem.
All shit from years ago. So.
Oh, that's classic. That's a classic.
Yeah. There we go. So, I'm sure he had Malice on once. Well, I'm sure he was part of that series. I just want to double check if I'm not, like, misremembering. Yeah, hey! there we go. There was Michael Malice.
I like Michael Malice. He's one of those guys who's just like he understands the kind of trolling,
you know? Yeah.
So he gets the fun of it.
Let's carry on. What are your chess ratings, gentlemen? Are you any good at chess?
No. Well, I mean, like I can beat my son. I taught my son how to play chess, and I destroy him at chess. But he's 8, so.
Last time I played chess was against Mark.
Get your chess pad, I'll fucking own it. I won't, I'll suck, but like I'll play you. I know how to play chess, if that's the question. I'll defeat Devin Tracy at chess. I've watched him play chess, he sucked.
Deplorable Patriarch says Carrot is Clarkson is carrot pilled. Clarkson is carrot pilled.
Yes, he is literally carrot pilled.
At Travara 1 says, did you red pill Sargon on race realism or avoiding? I don't think there's much to race pill there. I've lost the ability to talk. I really have. I don't think there's much I can really convince him of, to be honest, that he doesn't already know.
I'm impervious to your lies. All human beings are the same and evolution doesn't happen.
Indeed. Spasticus Autisticus says, Jesus came to England. This is true and factual.
Obviously. The Pope might be French, but Jesus was English.
Did he come to England?
Of course he did. These feet in ancient times walk on these fields green or whatever it is.
When did he do that?
We get the text of Jerusalem up.
When did Jesus come to England? Then?
Get the text of Jerusalem up.
That's not in the Bible, is it?
Who gives a fuck? The Bible was written by fucking foreigners.
Malcolm Mackay says, ask Athene, make AI Sargon. He does AI interviews.
No, V has already done this, and he's already like, look, the AI knows exactly what you're going to say, and he posted a bunch of AI conversations. Like, wow, that is what I would say, bitch.
James Ridge with an earth-shattering $90
that I'm not going to see any share of.
Says, have either of you read? Have either of you read? Oh dear, oh dear.
This old Persian rubs his hands.
Have either of you?
How can I monetize my friend today?
Oh dear, oh dear. This was your idea. I'll just have you know.
It was your idea.
You said, do you want to do a stream?
No, you said that.
I said it ages ago, and then I kind of lost interest.
I said, sure, I'll do a stream. I'd love for you to make loads of money.
James Ridge says, we're going to have to go to bed in a minute. James Ridge says, have either of you
read... from beds, I swear, folks.
Have either of you read the Rising series?
No.
That is Red Rising. First book got much better with each subsequent book. What were thoughts on the books? If you like them, do you think there is any chance of a screen adaptation and would be any good or dominated by the message?
Everything is dominated by the message. Nothing is good anymore. End of story. I haven't read any of it.
Deplorable Patriarch says, just as Christianity was founded by a Hebrew, America was founded by the English. Brexit 1.0. We do know that Joseph couldn't get wood.
We don't know that.
I think that was a joke.
I know, but it's not fair to Joseph. He already got cucked by God.
Machiavelli Sucks to Go says, pass the legal limit.
I am.
Do you know, I read once that Joseph and Mary did have like a secret kid called James or something. Jesus's brother,
yeah,
who's been like retconned out.
Yes,
did you ever come across this?
Yeah, because I watched what was it, Kevin Smith film?
It was a Kevin Smith film,
yeah. It was really good as well, what was it? Oh man, Kevin Smith is one of those Generation X filmmakers, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's like he is in our wheelhouse, right.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything he makes totally resonates with Generation X, but no one outside of Generation X really understands or appreciates Kevin Smith, right? And Dogma,
I remember Dogma, that. Right. I had Dallin Rickman in it.
Wasn't it good?
Yeah.
Right? Great film. If you're Generation X. If you're not Generation X, bullshit. Everyone hates it. Really peculiar. I'm wrong, Jack.
What's the whole thing about everybody saying I've committed heresy by saying Jesus had a secret brother?
I assume that's heretical. But as he says in Dogma, the idea that Mary and Joseph never got it on after the birth of Jesus.
Oh, look at Lambda, Subversive Lambda. It's not a retcon. James,
no!
James is generally acknowledged as the brother of Jesus, although not by Catholics.
Subversive Anglicans.
But hold on. That would mean that Mary's not a virgin.
Yeah, but Chris Rock has a good point in Dogma where he's like, look, after the birth of Jesus, does Mary have to remain a virgin? Is she going to remain a virgin her whole life? Married to Joseph? It seems unfair to Joseph.
You should know something about me, by the way. I'm not just a heretic. I am a macaroni heretic.
What does that mean?
There's a special type of heresy called the macaroni heresy, which is...
That Joseph was an incel his whole life.
No, it's a macaroni heresy. It's something about they like Christians, right? Want to retcon,
yeah,
all of the people in the Old Testament as Christians retrospectively.
Yeah, but the Muslims do this as well,
right?
Jesus was a Muslim,
and if you deny this, you're a macaroni heretic. And
I guess I'm a macaroni.
I deny this, so I'm a macaroni heretic.
Yeah. Abraham was not Christian.
Yeah, exactly. This is the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Abraham was not Christian.
Yeah, no, it's
macaroni heresy.
Why is it named after a pastor?
I don't know. He was some Italian theologian. An Italian theologian called Macaroni.
Don't even get me started on the Italians. Let me tell you about their cheeses.
All right. I think that's all to do, don't you? Any last words, Carl, for the audience before we go to bed?
Italy has never produced a cheese. So not one. Not one cheese.
I mean, there's the Gorgonzola.
That's not a cheese. That's a smell of feet.
Cheese
tastes like cheese. What's the chemical property of Gorgonzola? It's not going to be cheese. I doubt it even comes from cows.
It's not apparently it's not a retcon. It's just how prophecy works.
What's that supposed to mean?
How does that work? I mean,
James is explicit. Radlib says, James is explicitly mentioned in the scriptures as Jesus' brother. Which one? Give us a verse.
Right. Yeah, the dumber younger brother.
Listen, Ryland, you might have had the best fucking speech at last year's Shieldings.
Look, somebody's trying to claim that Stilton is
what, Italian?
No, Stilton is English.
Yeah.
Gorgonzola is a cheese, you idiot.
No, it's not. It's a foot smell.
I have to be honest, I kind of like...
Parmesan, that's not a cheese. It's literally made of toenail shavings.
Okay. I can't think of any other Italian cheeses.
Exactly.
Italian cheese.
Literally, like, find Furious Person X and shame him for being Italian. Not having a single cheese.
List of Italian cheeses.
How is it that English cheeses are so much more rich?
Mozzarella.
That's not a cheese. That's the foam from the top of like the it's tasteless foam.
Bra.
That's not a word.
Bitto.
That's not a word either.
Burrata. I mean, I don't mind the burrata.
This is bullshit. These are all copes. These are massive copes. They're not being cheddar.
Can I, by the way, there's 1,000 Italian cheeses on the
1,000 bullshit.
1,000 Italian cheeses.
Does that look like cheese? That looks like it's literally made of stone.
Dear, oh dear, oh dear.
They've literally carved a block of marble and like, here's our cheese. Bollocks.
We're going to have to go to bed. Right. Bye, everyone. Italians.
Viva Italia.
Italian do make cheese, but.
There they go.
Jesus was a mason. Jesus was a mason.
The Italians don't make cheese and Jesus was English.
Jesus was a mason. An English mason.
English, that's fine.
An English mason.
I'm happy for
it. Who had a half-brother called James.
Possibly.
And Abraham wasn't a Christian.
Definitely.
Do you agree with that?
Oh, well.
No, look, the whole point
Jesus was English.
The whole point about the macaroni heresy is...
If you were
Noah,
is it really macaroni?
Yeah, macaroni heresy, right?
Okay.
If Noah, right, the God that Noah prayed to was the same God as God.
Oh, now we're getting into complex. It was the Old Testament God.
But
the Old
Testament God. He didn't know Jesus was there, did he? So how could he be a Christian?
But the Old Testament,
if he came before Christ,
then we've got the distinct differences in character between the Old Testament God and the New Testament.
Well, there's that as well. But
I mean, I like the Old Testament God a lot.
Apparently Galatians 1:18 says James is the brother of Jesus.
Sounds like New Testament heresy to me.
But the macaroni heretics are like, you can't be Noah and be a Christian because Jesus hadn't come yet.
Well, I mean, definitionally that's correct.
I mean, it makes sense to me.
Chronologically,
you can't backwards compatibly say, "Oh, you're a Christian before Christ." No, it makes no sense.
You can't. Yeah, it's literally the Muslims going, "Jesus was a Muslim." So no, he wasn't.
The proverb of Patriarch says, "Has dictator top trumps age well?" That, do you know, that's a lot of people's first
probably is hilarious.
Memories of,
we should do another one.
Us was dictator top trumps.
We should do another one.
In fact, I don't know if that predates that stream that we did. Probably not, actually.
Probably not, but like, yeah, probably not. But dictator top trumps was fun.
Lander's going to drive here.
Yes, you do, Lander, actually. Yes, you do.
Sort this out.
And Charlemagne, you have to fix my website to sort this all out right now.
If, listen, if Moses, right,
yeah,
was a Christian.
Obviously not.
He wouldn't be the founder of bloody Judaism, would he?
Clearly he was a Muslim.
He wasn't a Muslim. He wasn't a Christian. He was a bloody Hebrew. He was a Hebrew.
Oh, what heresy is this? Jesus.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. Oh, look, there's an ecumenical council happening now.
Oh, here we go.
Fuck
yeah. Right, I stick by my macaroni.
I stick by my paganism, Jesus.
you don't get to say Jesus if you're...
Jesus, like, do you want to join me? He's like, no, I'm too pagan. I can't help it.
All right, bye everyone.
I appreciate what you're trying to do here, but like,
go on, say it. Maybe you shouldn't be living here.
What goes on in this town is none of your business.
As long as I'm living here, it is.
Then maybe you shouldn't be living here!
Well, that's easily fixed.